Rock. My name is Serge Delpierre, and this week we'll be doing Raiders of the Lost Ark from 1981. To my right is...
Bob Dylan.
To my left is...
Tim Deanna Jones McMillan.
Oh, and...
Imagine me being the straight guy, Curtis Nelson.
Nice. Johnny Truby, good to be here.
Oh, and great. All right, so we've... let's get to the queue up point. And of course, for this movie, we all know it's really important to get this queued up right. So we have it queued up to go to the very beginning of the Paramount logo starting to come up and pause it there. And once we're all done, after we've introduced this and we get going, I'll say 3, 2, 1, we'll hit play, you'll hit play, and we'll get going on this.
Do you want to say your name?
I already said my name. I will say it again, Serge Delpierre.
Very nice.
As they say in French. Anyway, so, Tim, Raiders.
I would have to say it's probably my favorite action-adventure film.
Ever?
Ever. Ever and ever.
There you go. Man, he's direct and to the point.
Yeah, absolutely. This represents, and there's a lot of nostalgia mixed in as well for me. Sitting in the theater watching this, I was like, opening weekend, I really had heard not much about it. The crowd... Yeah. The way they all were just floored by it, the feel of the energy in the theater, the ride that it was from beginning to end, it just represents a huge fun time for me that I'll never forget. So there's that element, but I think it stands up beautifully still as being one of my favorite action picture, I think.
Yeah, and actually the interesting thing is this was Spielberg's follow-up film to 1941, that famous debacle. Which was the follow-up to his, I think it was Close Encounters.
I will argue always vehemently for 1941.
Oh, I will too. 1941 movie. Actually, yeah, but it did so badly that everyone was just like, oh no, that's it. And then basically he went back to the drawing boards and got together with Lucas and did this.
It's interesting how things age, because people, there's different camps on 1941 now that say, it was a matter of timing, a matter of he was the boy genius who could do no wrong. And then 1941 came out, and it was a little off from what they thought he was going to do, so they said, okay, we're going to take it down a few notches. People watch 1941 now, and it's gotten a huge new wave of following.
I have not seen it since, but I just remember everyone was trashing it for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And but the context is that that's what preceded this, and this was essentially, quote-unquote, Spielberg's redemption. Everything was stripped down. It was cleaner. It was this. It was that. It was everything that 1941 wasn't. I mean, at least that's the way it was presented, which, I mean, that's just the way it played out then. I think independently, I think Raiders just rocks from top to bottom. So... Actually, I have a fond memory of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think that Christmas, I think we had an Atari 2600.
Yeah. Baby.
And we got the Raiders of the Lost Ark game. And me and my brother, we got that. And that from morning until like night, we saw that whole thing. We played that whole sucker. I mean, we're talking about what this is, 8-bit.
The horrible grappling hook that go over the maces.
But it was
awesome.
And then we had to find our way and take the parachute and go down and get
so
in there.
So horrible game.
But it was awesome.
We did the same thing.
I have to tell you, and I know my brother will hear this at some point, and he will totally agree. That was like one of the best times ever on a Christmas day.
Sure.
Because we just played that sucker all day. Fantastic time. So, Curtis?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't really understand how anybody could have another answer besides the fact that this was still the time of, blockbuster films were coming out, and action films were out there for sure, but they hadn't been presented in the way that Indiana Jones, or excuse me, Raiders of the Lost Ark had. So when you saw this film, it was a visceral experience with a group of people that was just, their jaws were on the floor just like yours. They were seeing an end. It was so plainly obvious that this is one of the greatest films you ever saw. Like a third of the way through, you're like, oh my God. Or the opening shot, which we're about to see. It's like the whole film is and then even all the way to the ending scene, whenever he's pushing the crate down those thousands of crates, you're like, what? Oh, I still have that iconic picture of that crate going in that warehouse and just being blown away as a kid. And literally sitting there with my mother and my two brothers and just staring at the screen. And everybody in the audience that I was at did the same thing, just sat there.
Right.
It's over, but then just erupted in applause. So it's great. So
for it's a film that's going to be an homage to a certain genre,
yeah,
that comes out every so often, and you hope it'll at least do half justice to what it's supposedly paying tribute to, this thing blew it away.
Yes.
For the serials, for the feel True. Of the cliffhanger serial, for the innocent, fun-loving cinema mm-hmm. of just go and escapism, adventure, this thing, I think, is hit it out of the park and then some.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and that was Spielberg and Lucas. I mean, Lucas had a huge, I mean, it was his mm-hmm. story. You know, yeah. He wanted to do this. And actually, from what I was reading, apparently he's the one who wanted Selleck originally. He didn't want Harrison Ford because he didn't want Harrison Ford to become his guy and all
sure,
of a sudden
sure.
have Harrison Ford in it. But then I think Selleck had a schedule conflict or something like that.
With
or,
TV, couldn't do it.
Magnum oh, yeah, with Magnum P.I. Yeah. So Harrison Ford got it. And yeah, he did an okay job. Yeah, it was all right.
Harrison who?
And speaking of 1941, what's his name from Animal House almost got it as well.
Belushi?
No.
Dan Aykroyd?
No. The guy that was in Animal House that played the main...
Tim Matheson?
Tim Matheson also auditioned for Indiana Jones. And they still have footage on a lot of the special edition DVDs you can see where he auditions for it. And anyway, we'll talk about casting later, but I mean, during the film, but it just shows... how important casting is sometimes, and
right.
you know, whether it be, you know, Lord of the Rings with
Viggo
Mortensen coming in and playing that part, whenever it was originally to other people, you hear about who they were going to get, and you're like, oh, that would have been horrible, and then you know, on and on and on. So casting is so important. Even Tom Selleck, as much as I love him, I give him a lot more credit than a lot of people, but you see it now, and maybe it's because people will always say, well, it's because you've already got it in your head that Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. I disagree. I'm like, no, he was perfect for the part.
That's just it.
So,
okay, John, now that we've said absolutely everything possible about Raiders, yeah. do you have anything else to add?
I'm going to look at it. Well, I was going to say mostly that I look at it from a writer's point of view, and they do incredible things about not only having a wonderful structure that supports the whole story, but also doing very, very exciting things right before long exposition scenes so that I'm more than happy to... Like, I've heard it said, people would have listened to someone sell car insurance after that Boulder scene. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an incredible manipulation mm-hmm. of the scenes so to achieve what needs to be achieved in telling the whole story.
And no one is checking out at any point.
Exactly, not at all. And so so that's very enjoyable. And then just from a personal, I loved it when I first saw it. It was incredible. It was so incredible. And he takes everything just one step further. So when there's something's exciting, then something becomes really exciting. When something gets a little bit gross, then it just becomes a little bit grosser just to be a little bothersome. And then when it becomes, a little bit witty and then twist and, you know, he's going to save the girl and then he doesn't. And so it's just brilliant. So
there's so many inspired choices in this thing. So many inspired moments.
And even the goofy comedy, which they throw in a couple times, It actually was, for me, a tension reliever, and it was good, and it worked, as opposed to sometimes when they do the goofy comedy, it doesn't work.
During this film, it's kind of goofy offhand comedy, whereas later on it becomes, you know, monkeys farting and pulling fingers and things like that. Yeah. That's the difference.
Yeah, right.
It became a little bit too ridiculous.
You know, I feel bad for anyone who has not seen this film in a packed house. The way it should be seen
in
a full packed theater. You are missing a major part of this movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great to have.
But it's not that bad.
Because you've got the four of us inside your head.
Thank you. Touche. That was a lobby. And I want to add one last thing before we get started is I think we also have to recognize the contribution of Lawrence Kasdan to this because he did work on the script also.
Large hand to Lawrence Kasdan.
Well, that's the whole thing, is he had come off of, I mean, basically, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. And
No, he was fired off Return of the Jedi.
He was fired?
He didn't.
Who fired him?
He had started Return of the Jedi, and a lot of the source structure, these are things that aren't talked about in the DVDs of the Star Wars lore. He had started the structure and the skeleton of Return of the Jedi, and basically he kind of a bow and took himself away from it.
And so Lucas finished it up? Or did someone else ghostwrite it?
The rest went on. He didn't write Return of the Jedi. It's not even, he doesn't even write it in credit.
Yes, he does. No, he has a writing credit.
Very, but it's is it one of story by or something story, like that. It's like, it's, but he stepped away. I guarantee you.
I'll double check that once my internets are back up and working. Okay. So he had a hand at Star Wars, but then he also had Body Heat that he did. Yes. And so, I think Body Heat came after this. That's right. And that was his directorial debut. So definitely, I mean, all that creativity that we're talking about definitely was this definitely was a vessel for part of that. Okay, and on that note, we're going to get going. So on my count, we're going to say 3, 2, 1, and go, and Tim is very excited. All right, so 3, 2, 1, play. Ooh. Love that logo. Well, that's a nice Paramount Picture logo, Gulf and Western Company.
We've seen that on so many movies.
Yes. Wait,
what's happening?
Oh, my.
Oh,
this is when I knew I was in for a great film. Yeah, that is that moment, one second. Guys, where it morphs into, actually it's an optical to fade into the actual photography of this mountain. That's where I said, I'm in love with this film already. Well, I'm sorry, that's exactly where it happened.
I felt that way with Matrix, when they did the whole green thing and they did the music before, you know, when the logo was still on. I felt that too.
It's very trendy as far as Warner Brothers. They always do something that's pertaining to their films these days to go from the logo to the first frame of the picture. But Raiders of the Lost Ark is the first time I saw that.
No one had ever done it. And everyone was just like, wow, that's great. And notice we have not seen Indiana Jones's face yet.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
And also, just a reminder, that's Alfred Molina.
Yes.
Who's become, he played Doc Ock.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
And also, good old Denham Elliott. He's great, man.
Yeah.
And also all the faces of the other people, they're scared. So that helps, too.
Yes.
Every time we see him, they're like, oh, yeah.
Is that Doug Slocum.
And great kudos to Douglas Slocum, the DP on this. Amazing work.
And when did Spielberg stop using him? He worked with him forever and ever and ever.
He did. That was his main guy for a while. And I think it tapered off after like 83.
Oh, Kazanjian. Kazanjian worked on Jedi. Gary Kurtz was the... was the producer on Star Wars and Empire, and then it was Kazanjian on Jedi.
And who's the bird wrangler pushing the birds out to the other side of this?
He's a very rich person.
I think this is the young actor that was in...
That's Alfred Molina, right?
Yeah, okay,
there.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he was in, what was that, the Spanish woman's name movie with...
What?
Penelope Cruz.
What are you talking about?
Penelope Cruz did...
No, you're thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
you're thinking of what's his name? Who's in No Country for Old Men.
Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem was a teenager at this time.
Before it passes too quick, now, was that mountain shot fading from the Paramount logo shot, was that an accident? Like they got there and said,
that was exactly...
Oh, well, as far as... I think it was inspired, happened on set.
Yeah,
on
he
location.
Looked and was like, ooh!
Yeah, I would think that's, you know, I don't know for sure. I'll bet someone else does, but I would think it was just inspired while they were there or on a location scout, and they said we got to do that.
I'd say it was planned. I'd say they got a transparency. They said, there it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because they locked
it
up.
Look at those shafts
in the
light.
Framing very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, they.
For me, everything here is intentional. I think there are some accidents and they're happy accidents, but that.
Oh, the Shafts of Light. No, I'm sure they had a smoke machine.
No. Right? We're talking about the mountain still. The Shafts of Light.
You guys are going to be talking about that the whole movie.
As far as...
I'm still like... I still look at this. This is great. He's in foreground, split diopter.
Well, look at... I mean, this is probably one of the greatest hero reveals of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
I mean,
it's just absolutely amazing, iconic, unbelievable. And my wife... takes her breath away every time.
Yeah.
That's the greatest introduction to anyone ever in movie history.
That was
ever.
It's awesome. But
what I love is
challenge
just
me
how,
on this one.
I'm sorry, what was that, sir?
I say, was that the greatest introduction?
Yes.
Ever?
That was awesome. What I loved is the fact you went so long, you still have without any dialogue. It's all cinematic storytelling. It's very Hitchcockian. It's very visually.
Show, don't tell.
You know, and that's what I love about this film.
Wall-y.
It's all cinematic.
Very Wall-E.
Wall-E.
It's one of these things where every time I watch this now, after seeing the last film that will go unnamed, it really makes me really kind of, and a lot of some of Spielberg's newer stuff, because I know that I'm an actor, and there are a lot of people who don't know that I'm an actor, and then he'll probably never hire me, but Being that I'll probably never get a chance to be hired by him, I will just go ahead and say that I just, does he ever go back and watch this and go, wow, I was so inspired. I mean, you look at some of these shots and they're just absolutely unbelievable with things in the foreground, the way they set up all the shots. I mean, it's something simple as this, how they just let shots move and kind of do their own thing. But yet so planned and so artistic. And then you see some of the newer films that Spielberg does, and you're like,
well,
really?
Different part of his career. I mean, remember, this is...
I'm not arguing that.
No, this is six or seven years after Jaws. That's it. That's mm-hmm. how... This is a long time ago.
Oh,
I like this.
I don't need you telling me this. Mm-hmm. I know.
Well, but I mean, I really don't think of this film as having been from a long time ago. That's the whole thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, Raiders.
And the humor. Oh, look at this humor. Like,
this is great. Oh, yeah. The humor spiders right away. Turn around.
And also look at Harrison's
He's
face.
Covered with spiders.
Oh, that's so
good. Oh, man. And such a young Alfred Molina. That's the amazing thing.
The audience's reactions to this were just wonderful.
He was a theater actor out of England.
I think the first movie I saw him in was Prick Up Your Ears with Gary Oldman.
See, now this is, I just tell you now, it took me a decade before I thought this was a little hokey.
What's that?
Because doesn't the light go down every night?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the shaft of light wouldn't be there later. And then also, what kind of technology allows that to happen? But you know, right. Yeah. But you know what? It's such a great film. You forget that.
I buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
Suspension of disbelief is perfect through this film for me.
But I love the little touch of the skeleton just like, you know, turns towards him.
Already John Williams is hitting it out of the park, though.
That's what needs to be acknowledged as well. The score to this picture brought character and identity of this film, like no one else, I think, could have scored this picture.
Yeah,
this
just
way.
That one part right there where he da da dun da da dun da da dun da da dun. It's unbelievable, and then it calms all down again.
It's beautiful, beautiful score. One of the best, I think. He's done.
They shot this in the UK, correct?
Yes, European. Yeah.
Okay. But these are all stage. Yeah, these are
all the stages are in the UK.
Stage shots right here.
And what I'd like to point out is if you A-B'd this, if you watch this film and then immediately you watched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and look at the temperature difference in the colors and the way it's shot.
Right.
This is beautiful. Kingdom
of
the Crystal Skull is overblown.
Flat.
It has, yeah. Oh.
Well, that was,
I forget his name.
Janusz Kaminski shot. Yeah, he's been shooting
but
stuff for a while.
It'll show you the,
that's his
the different styles that have been accepted over the years and what it's become, where people don't see it for what it is anymore. But when you pop in something like this and you see classically shot film, the lighting setups and it's just beautiful.
That's great.
That's
just
great.
Beautiful.
He knows exactly where to put it, and he's lucky. Like, well, that's the thing with Indiana Jones. He's lucky.
Yeah,
he is.
And he knows he's lucky.
Well, he's one of the best written everymen ever.
Yeah,
in cinema ever, because I mean he only gets by one by his intelligence, but also a little bit of luck, and his tenacity.
And I was going to say tenacity. He just throws himself in, even though he doesn't know something.
And the interesting thing about what he just did is he just set up, and with what he's doing now, he set up the next gash.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And look at this dolly shot moving into the idol head.
It's great. Yeah.
Now, well, this is when Spielberg doesn't really use these dolly shots anymore. He used them often in his early career, and it's awesome.
It's very close encounters, dolly shots.
Yeah.
You're looking at the mothership
as you move in
towards their face.
And here, you moved in, and then you moved out.
Yeah.
And you had the reflection off the gold, so Harrison Ford's face is so warmly lit in the shot in front of that.
And then he does this, so he can get the shot. And
look at that shot right
foreground,
there.
Background,
the sand right in
the middle.
Of the mm-hmm. Jeez.
And John Williams' score, going to town, London Symphony Orchestra, knocking it out of the park.
Just for...
Build.
And that's nice.
This. And he made it.
You got the audience in your hand. Yeah. This guy is the director, has the audience in their hand.
Yeah, and then for him to.
And I like this. It's like, oh, it's going down. It's oh, shit.
And you know you're in for it.
And it's like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then there you go. Here's the gag.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And he's going to make it somehow. He's just, I'll just outrun it.
But that's a Star Wars gag because they did it with R2 and 3PO in Star Wars. Yeah.
But what he's done is he's set up everything in order for him to get out. You're talking about setting up the gags?
Give me the whip.
The whole beginning of the film set up everything. He has to run through at breakneck speed in order to get out.
Yeah.
You saw it slowly introduced at the beginning.
Yes, senor. Yeah. Oh, you're going to get it.
Oh.
Nice mat.
Yeah.
Nice match.
That was an interesting cut. It didn't match exactly, but they made it work.
Great editing.
I love this.
I've got it. But right there, just that right there. Like,
again, it's audience manipulation of the best kind.
Yeah.
So good.
But here it works. It works. Gangbusters.
Yeah. In spades.
And there's
it's,
the whip.
It's the whip he gets.
Just gotta give
and you think you're done.
Yeah. He's out. He's out, right? He's safe.
And the audience exhales.
Yeah. Huh.
And then we got...
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh.
Fantastic.
That was high gore from 1981.
Oh.
That was...
And here's the music coming in.
Adios.
Impact shot. Dolly, dolly, dolly.
Yeah, it's a boulder.
Yeah, that boulder was way cool.
Can somebody show Spike Lee that's how you use a dolly? Check that out. But you know, the interesting thing is this track was only about 45 feet or something that, and they had to keep reusing the same section.
Yeah, they used the same one, but they did it well.
Oh yeah, they did.
Beautiful music cue that just came to an end right there.
Open,
awesome.
What I liked about this film is it used Harrison Ford, who was relatively unknown but starting to be a star. And then all these other unknowns.
This is great.
And they all were That's great.
Mm-hmm. It's a great stunt. You know, it's like, poor son of a bitch.
And starting with this guy, Paul Freeman. We'd never really seen him.
You're right.
And they all hit out of the park. Him, Ronald Lacey. Okay, Karen Allen had been something. But all those other guys. Even Alfred Molina.
And this guy who's Belloc, right? That's his name?
Yeah, the character name? That's Paul Freeman.
He's just a wonderful champagne villain. That's what Spielberg called him. He said he plays the champagne villain in this movie.
Right. Meaning he's a bad guy, but one that
drinks
champagne.
Yes, you who is going, you know, he's not just going to kill you. He's going to do it in some elaborate, incredible way, like in a James Bond movie.
So the thickest cobwebs I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. Focus shift, nice.
Oh, it was great.
This shows him sneak off in the past. But you notice that, see, the thing about what I love about this era, since we're talking about how people change, but this era of Spielberg filmmaking was so fewer cuts. It was so classic filmmaking. And you could tell that he had so much inspiration from Kurosawa and those guys that they really studied and admired in USC whenever they were there. And now he's running past all that stuff that took so long to go do.
Yeah.
And
this is
the rhythm.
What a great make tension. You got a guy waiting there, fishing, nothing's happening.
I love
he
that
finally
shot.
Gets a fish on the hook, and we can actually understand him like, I don't want to let this go.
Yeah.
Do I really need to start the plane now?
And there's a classic shot of the dust coming off of Harrison Ford's jacket. Great touch.
Yeah.
Look at that. Listen to that music. God.
And I love the plucking of the strings. The plucking of the strings made that scene.
Now,
the energy.
The thing with the snakes, I read somewhere, and I don't remember what it was exactly, is apparently there was more to it, but they just kind of basically cut it all out.
Hmm.
Do you remember that was? Anyone know the story?
No, I don't.
Apparently there was more to it that it kind of explained why the snakes were in there, either something before.
You mean the scene coming up?
Later it works perfectly as is.
Oh, no, it works. That's the whole thing, is it works as is, and they basically cut it to exactly what it needed.
I see.
And this is the first time you're actually hearing the indie theme.
Yeah. We got our hero theme. That brass cuts through anything.
And, of course, the snakes introduces us to the whole thing that he doesn't like.
It's a classic shot. Unbelievable.
We go back to those wonderful strings of John Williams. So here, it's great.
See, it's like he doesn't like them, but it isn't like he's so just...
You know. No rear screen.
Yeah, wonderful. All the real stuff.
Which was a huge laugh.
Yeah.
Show a little backbone.
Yeah.
The audience, after everything
after
he just went
everything
through.
After everything he just saw. Yeah, come on.
I think beautiful that's what
shot,
I really
Look at that shot. Look at that shot.
Yeah. Now, actually, going back to that guy, okay, we have to say, his first line he said with a British accent. The second one he said with a New York accent. What's up with that?
Interesting. That was lost
on me. He was busy
me.
Flying a plane.
That's right.
So now we exhale, right, John? And now we're able
opening.
To get some exposition.
Yeah.
And
of course, and he plays like, oh, I kind of don't know exactly how to spell
this. Tell you the truth, when I was a kid and I saw this, I didn't even know that was Harrison Ford at first.
Yeah.
I swear I did not.
And I love how all the girls are just...
Have a crush on him.
All think he's dreamy.
Well, I mean, what's great about this as far as a setup as a hero, too, is that he's got brains.
Yeah.
He's not some idiot.
Right,
and actually, that's your average all these girls flaunting.
Well, the interesting thing, if you notice, what Spielberg had them do is all the girls, just so he didn't have to explain that they all had a crush on him. Like, they basically, he has them all leaning on their hand in the same
resting
kind of
on
way,
their arm,
a psychological gesture that says it all right away.
That's a sigh with your arms.
Can I say
you're
something
with your body language?
Yes.
What he's saying is a danger to archaeology is not so much life, loss of life and limb; it's the folklore. Mm-hmm. So he's all about. And that's great. Love you. And he's great. He's trying to read it. He's like, what? Yeah.
You were saying folklore?
Yeah. Folklore is, he says over and over again he's not into the superstitious hocus pocus of it all, and obviously that's what saves him at the end.
Yes.
He realizes that it's powerful.
Who leaves? Is it a guy who leaves the apple?
Yeah, there's a guy that leaves an apple, which is funny.
He doesn't have the power of the poon. He knows that.
That's right. So he's got to leave the apple.
And the look on his face.
It's like, yeah. Finally.
He's ticked out that all the girls are in love with him, I think. In love with the teacher.
And then Brody takes it.
And now Denholm Elliott actually... Oh, go ahead, John.
Oh, real quick. At the very beginning when Belloc meets him, he says two questions. He says... nothing you possess that I can't take from you, and also you have chosen the wrong friends. And those are the two questions that go, you know, back and forth the whole movie.
Mm. Right.
You know.
Well, notice
and it's just great that Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, he's just so clean cut here, and he's just so basically when you change your clothes, and all of a sudden he's rugged.
Well, it's a Superman
saying it's a superhero setup. Yeah. It's his, you know, by day this,
yeah,
by
this
night
is Clark Kent.
This is Clark Kent. All right. Mm-hmm.
Also, let me talk about character real quick. We all know, and the writer knows, they're going to go talk about the Lost Ark, mm-hmm. but the character Indiana Jones doesn't. Mm-hmm. So right there, his whole point is, give me $2,000, I can go get that golden statue back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what he's focused on, he's drived on, he's like that. And finally, he gets pulled into this discussion. Mm. So it's the writer's
got
to keep in mind, like, what is the mindset of the character, mm-hmm. and let him act from there, rather than what's going to come up.
Right.
Notice how few edits, mm-hmm. long shots. Mm-hmm. Love it.
And actually, I like Denholm Elliott's character is great in this movie. And I have to say it, I really don't like what they did in The Last Crusade. They turned into a bumbling fool.
Yeah, an alcoholic.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just like, I understand what part he played in that story, but I don't know.
I think somehow between this movie and the other, by the way, he had already done Trading Places during this one. So, but remember the scene on the train where he plays the drunk Irish priest whenever Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd are trying to get on the plane to get the documents. I think maybe after that, they saw that, wait a minute, he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
We used him as a straight guy. Yeah, Let's go ahead and write him in as a goof because he plays a good drunk.
And, like he plays a good drunk, but the problem is it didn't jive with what he had here, which was, you know.
And also see how they make this scene interesting, too. They make it two guys, so they keep stepping over each other, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice dynamics.
Just one person, blah, 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 blah.
Nice dynamics.
Focus pull right there.
Oh, yeah, because we were getting a ton of exposition, and they're great actors. This gets back to the supporting actors. All the actors are fantastic.
I agree. That's right. Good point. They really are. It's uniform through the whole picture.
And we've never seen them, and then so you just focus on the characters.
But look at see how Spielberg used to keep so much stuff in frame? Like, here he is in frame. They're all four in frame.
The compositions.
And then you got the chalkboard back there, but then later they're going to cut back, and there's going to be just a book right in the foreground. It's right there. And it's like
there's
right
the
there.
Satchel.
See, it's like just sitting right there.
What's the angle?
And now that's a good, I mean, in modern day filmmaking,
framing.
It's like, it's all blank. It's like just the faces. Yeah.
Mm. Well, because a lot of times everyone's shooting just to have everything on video. This was shot to be on film.
Mm. Well, I still argue that point. I mean, even films 5, 6, 7 years ago when film was still, and it still is being used today, they lose a lot of that.
Well, it's as one would say, it's the... The curse of the Avid, the curse of Final Cut.
I don't know. To me, it's just that all you have are actors against green screen.
Yeah.
So when you do everything full out practical and real, you can do stuff like this and have stuff in the foreground, background, middle, and compositions that really fill out your scope frame beautifully.
Right.
Oh, man, this is a film class, this movie on composition.
Yeah, look at it. And notice how they gave that guy so much to do as far as, like, watching, he's checking out. Mm-hmm. But now, if you're cutting around him, you don't see all those great reactions. Whereas in here, you get to see both those actors. They're not going to be in the rest of the film. Yeah. And you get to see all their reactions. Yeah. You get to see all the – you're understanding what they're input is and what they're getting in. They're like, this guy, he's like, I don't believe any of this shit. This is all hokey pokey crap. What are you calling
it? And I love the anticipation of the guy that's on the right with the
red
bow tie.
He's interested.
He's anticipation and this, what they bring to this is wonderful.
Yeah. And basically they're laying out every single piece of exposition we need.
Exactly.
Everyone we need to know how these people feel about it.
And I don't feel, I don't feel that I'm stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's done in
a way
that I know I'm not being spoon-fed to where how stupid do you think I am, guys?
Yeah, because since this guy thinks he's a bullshit artist, he's like, okay, well, I'll show you. And he's drawing it out. And he's
showing us exactly what we're going to see later. Now we're finally getting to a visual. Right.
Because they actually do two.
And look, he knows he's in his element. He's like, look at him go. There, that's right.
Well,
guy.
There's my now. Now he's got them.
He's selling it.
And so now he's telling us exactly what's going to happen. About like an hour from now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
See, look at this guy. I got it.
Right.
And his audience are right there with him.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, this is how we're going to write this movie.
So it's great.
Well,
filmmaking.
Kind of, because we got to get there first.
And again, I'll say it works to where in every other movie, like I can name them, but I feel that I'm being talked down to.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if you cut around all that acting,
here's the end.
You're not going to see it.
Mm-hmm. We have the end.
Right.
I mean, the writing can be there. Yeah. But then if you're cutting around all that.
This is prophecy right here.
Does this match up with your pages, John?
This is what the whole movie's about.
Nazis
found Tanis at 17. Yeah, usually at 15-minute mark, we know what the movie's about.
Oh, we've just been told
this
what the movie's about.
This is laid out for us. That prophetic 19... picture is the last act.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's the last. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the last sequence.
And so we got to know everything we need to know. We can just sit back and enjoy now.
Yeah. Exactly. Now we know there, and now we get a bit of a respite. We get the nice old car.
Listen to John Williams' music, even in these little quiet spots. And in this movie, I think it works more than anywhere. You're just like, wow, it's the quiet hero theme. Just
right,
simple.
Yeah. You get your mind wrapped around that melody real quick.
And this is usually at 22 is when there's a decision made, but this is right at 20. I mean, but sometimes people have to, obviously, they wanted to go before it was decided, so.
Their relationship is very nice.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-oh.
With so little time on screen together, mm-hmm. you see such a friendship between the two of them. It's mm-hmm. such great writing.
Their history is there. I know they've had history before. God, I've
Lawrence
joined
Kasdan,
them now.
Kasdan, where are you?
What is he doing these days?
I think sometimes he threw his hands up in the air and just got frustrated, because when you listen to like some of his little nuggets of information on the special editions of like the Star Wars movies and things like that, you can actually see a little bit of animosity in his tone and the way he talks about it. Like, you know, he wanted to kill off Han Solo and so did Harrison Ford, and you know, but the powers that be didn't want it to happen, and you know, that's what happens, and Lucas is the boss, and that's I can read behind that eye a little bit.
This is where they've introduced Marion right here, right? Didn't they just say Marion going to be there?
Yeah.
And we heard Marion's theme.
Yeah.
Well, now he's talking about the Ark and now he's reemphasizing just how
the hocus pocus folklore.
How hocus pocus it is. And he's like, yeah, bullshit.
And again, the shot lasts. So we get to see actors doing their craft.
Acting.
We get to watch actors doing their craft.
I'm looking at the painting above the fireplace.
I'm looking at the recessed lighting above the bookshelves. That's very interesting. Are those two little skylights?
Here we go.
And then the setup of, I can take care of myself.
A gun.
Look at this matte painting.
Basically,
that's a good mat.
It ended on the gun, because now it tells us, you know,
action
he's
time.
Prepared. Well, he's prepared.
And there's our Nazi guy, right? He just walked into the...
Him, in the trench coat. No, he's the one that's going to... They're gonna.
Wait, do we have Nazis in this film?
This one has nothing to do
with that. Yeah, that is a Nazi.
You're thinking of Temple of Doom whenever he hijacks a plane.
Back there, that's a Nazi.
That's Dennis Muren, isn't it?
No, I think it's the Nazis off to the side. We haven't seen him yet. That's the guy.
Yeah, that was the guy at the door. That's Ronald Lacey.
Spooky.
Is it?
No, I think that's Dennis Muren. I remember hearing on a commentary track elsewhere.
The special effects guy?
That it's Dennis Muren did a cameo, and he played that character on this plane.
Okay. Now, this was brilliant. I mean, it worked within the context
of
the action of the film.
And as an homage to serials. They did this all the time back then.
I mean, and it made it easy. Get some stock footage.
And John Williams gets to go to town.
Well, actually, they shot this. Well, that's special effects, actually.
That is special effects work. Yep.
Dennis Muren, special effects. And we get to see the old Nepal. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice establishing shot there.
Great.
That's right. Yeah. It's right next to Shangri-La.
Oh, Lost Horizon. Again, oh my gosh.
And this is great. It's just one shot that comes and
you're
going to
get tired of me saying every shot is a classic shot, but.
No, I mean.
The sequence is a beautifully directed sequence.
Look at this push in all the way from back there.
That's a nice Technocrane. Very nice.
This would have been great to be an extra on. Oh. I would have loved to be in this scene.
I mean, and that being said, they really, really, they really, really specified on they wanted classic looking or real looking extras that just looked the part. Look at these people.
And who can act. Yeah, because really let me tell you, the extras in Spielberg's films can act.
Now, as an Irishman, I will say she would have been on the floor long ago.
I like how the money, but the way they did the money, they had to go right past the camera. Yeah.
And this is all still the same shot, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And we follow the glass.
One glass, two glasses. Yeah. Is it great? Is it awesome? It's fun to watch. I mean, when you know filmmaking.
It still thrills me.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It still thrills me, I'm telling you.
It's still the same shot.
Well, because it's crap.
Yeah, they've got about 20 shots laying in front of them. That's real. God, I like how later she stands.
But look at the extras around them. Look at them. They are all acting.
They've got their money invested. They want to get their money.
Look at the guy right by his ear.
Yeah. All that was one shot. Is that freaking nuts?
And he falls back.
Look at that.
Then we cut.
And then she stands up. She's perfectly sober, everybody.
That's suspension of disbelief right there. Yeah.
Well...
She was born with two livers.
Look at her body type compared to that body type that just hit the floor.
What must be mentioned, though, is Karen Allen is absolutely perfect for this because he's in every guy and she's in every woman.
And this,
nowadays, they would cast a beautiful, gorgeous Megan Fox or somebody like that.
Classic shot right here.
Yeah, they're gorgeous, but look at her. She's just...
The shadow.
She's pretty, but she's just in every
woman.
And
this shadow comes back. Look, the shot's amazing.
And there's her little shadow on the right.
And the shot comes back also later in the fight scene. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole shadow.
And she's lit by the fire.
Yes, the light is motivated.
I'm not just saying that. It just looks so pretty.
No. I'm just saying.
You're right. And it is motivated. There's a fireplace right in front of her, as we see in the reverse shot.
Right.
But it's so pretty.
Great shot. The sound effects in this movie are unbelievable.
Also, just speaking of second act thing, he's now on the adventure, and often the second act is new a world for it, so it's often exotic, which is the whole drinking scene and all the people wearing strange hats.
Now, let me point something out. Remember the whole thing in the lecture with the girls?
Yes.
That planted that whole thing with her right now, because they're all googly-eyed over him, and she's the one who actually got him. Mm-hmm. And she says, "You took advantage of me." Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's not googly-eyed over him right now.
You know, it establishes that,
He's a cocksmith. Okay.
Well, basically, he sleeps, he may sleep with some of his students.
He moves along. Gee, the DP work in this is just...
I love the warm light on their faces.
Say it again.
It's just great writing and great yelling.
What I love about this scene is they get into it so quickly, and then right on its heels, the bad guys are there.
Yeah.
It does move like a bat out of hell.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's just like there ain't no padding.
It's very trim, the fat has been chopped away.
I like her. She's so cool. I don't know where it is. Maybe. It's around my neck, but I don't know where it is.
Yeah. Maybe you can find it.
And that was a sound bite that, trust me, they always use that little cut.
Absolutely.
On a lot promotion and advertising.
It's like, what's the line in Star Wars?
Don't get cocky.
No, what was the other one? Oh,
I don't know. You'll have to think of it.
I got a bad feeling about this. That's right.
Well, they don't overuse it in this one. I love her sarcasm.
Look at the light on his eyes.
How long do you think they tape that down where you're going to hit right here?
That's right. You feel the light on your eye?
It's a great fireplace.
You hit the mark.
Look at this shot. Look at all this composition. Look at this.
Yeah, the fire.
Well, they're up on the second.
Speaking of shots, look at this. We're on the flame. She's pulling out the metal. We crane down, and we have her face behind the flame, which shows how powerful the power of this metal is. Look at what the flame does when she rotates the metal.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, and now the we know something comes in.
We're right in there. We know this is serious stuff.
And, of course, it's now off her neck.
Right, that's a bad continuity.
Yes.
We all caught that in the theaters. I remember going, what happened to the chain?
Why is
but
that
you know
off
what?
Her neck?
Look at this shot.
I'll give it that.
I never caught that in the theater.
I've remembered that forever.
I was proud of myself when I caught that.
Well, that's one of the obvious ones, yeah. Just like the guy who's speaking with the snake, the British accent.
That one I never really caught.
Oh, always. There's and Robert
here
Lacey.
We go. Beautiful.
Look
beautiful
at this shot.
Actor
at
in this God role. Now, this guy was an agent or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he went back to
Ronald
acting.
Lacey
movie.
Was an agent?
He was like, yeah.
He did something behind the camera, and then he came back to acting for this movie.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, but he's
I
the,
love how he's
but
like,
he's the guy. He's the guy.
He invested beautifully.
He's the guy who was on the plane following Jones.
I you would think so, but I think it was Dennis Muren who did that. Nice. As a cameo.
Hey, smoking in a PG movie, not going to happen today.
I love that.
Yeah.
Light below his face.
Avatar.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, Sigourney
she
Weaver.
Smokes,
right?
Sigourney
yeah, she smokes. Yeah.
But and you know, well, you're right, most of it won't
and what happens
happen
to her?
She dies.
See, that's what happens. You smoke,
I like
you die.
That. Blows in his face.
That's just great.
Look at those shadows behind her.
I like this little...
yeah. I like how they went back to that overhead shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I got to say, as a kid, I absolutely love the sound effects of this movie. And before the gunfight happens, and we're talking over the greatest sound effects of all time as far as guns go, they actually blended like a 30-30 and a pistol sound to make Indiana Jones' pistol louder than everybody else's. So when he shoots it and it sounds like a goddamn cannon going off, that's why. It's like they really made it wanted to have a heroic, individualistic sound.
How old were you when you saw this?
Well, I mean, I was born in 72, so I was like right around 10 years old.
So 10 years old, okay. A
couple years older.
All right.
This was scary to me when I was a kid. I was like, oh my God, he's going to burn her on the face.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, the reason I'm asking, because I didn't see this as a child, so I'm just curious how,
this guy
you know,
was,
how you responded
this
to this.
This guy was scary as all.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
How did I not respond?
No, but it was great adventure, but in terms of how scary it was.
Oh,
that's
that guy's
so
scary
much
looking.
Oh, it's a great shot here when he pulls
sweaty and stuff.
Look at that.
That's some light.
And there's the whip again.
And the poker goes to the curtain, causing the fire. Yes. What I love and what happens in this movie is cause and effect. Spielberg is incredible at cause and effect sequences.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them that I love in this movie.
Hear his gun?
Yeah. Would you say they mixed with it?
Like a 30-30 rifle and a pistol gun or something like that. But they combined two sounds of guns. And, well, 30-30 is an actual hunting rifle.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But it's a great shot. Great stunt. Something else that's being a lost art.
Oh,
stunts are a lost art. Indiana Jones and stunts are a lost art.
Not,
is that the
not
name
in
of this movie?
Film, yeah. But in modern day films, you know, we'll just fix it in post.
Oh, this was great. I like this.
Yeah. Oh, this
is a nice
so
touch.
Cavalier with the
she
liquor
didn't have enough,
pouring out.
She didn't have enough to drink earlier.
That's right. She just wanted more.
Oh, man. And I like that how he gets his ass handed to him throughout the movie by guys.
Yes.
You know.
No, and it's nice. It's nice that it takes a break from all the gun shooting to fight.
And the logic of the fire spreading is wonderful as it progresses through.
Now,
the
this guy that's wrestling him on the bar right now is the same guy that's fighting him on the plane later.
Oh, the big guy. That
and he's also in Temple of Doom, and he's also in Last Crusade.
Oh, okay.
Again, cause and effect, the flame, the speed at which it goes. It's just like the airplane sequence
like
that comes
this,
later.
This was interesting.
Yeah.
Shoot them both. It's like,
and
what?
Then I like how the other guy's like, oh, screw that
what?
Business.
It's like, right, let's shoot him.
Yeah. But look at that blocking right there.
And now in terms of writing, this was brilliant.
To have it burn into his hand.
To have it burn into his hand.
They must have said, how do we get it?
Then to use it later.
Oh, yeah, exactly. How do we do that? And because, well, let's have, then they just worked it backwards.
Yeah, and we have a little comic relief here. The sounds that he's making as he's in the snow.
It's like, come on, dude. I just saved your life. Why do you keep on fighting me?
Yeah.
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 Audience loved that.
Yeah.
Look at that fire.
This is a great setup right here.
Yeah.
And his reaction. Awesome.
He missed me. Yep.
Oh, that was the guy she hit on the head with
the log.
Yeah, with the log, with the burning log.
Yeah, but once again, cause and effect later. Whenever he does a Heil Hitler, that's how they get the sign. That's how they get their
medallion
that start digging for nothing, you know, because they don't know. They're just hoping that they've got the right measurements and the right.
It's like the last scene of The Thing.
Yeah.
The camp behind her in the snow. You see Kurt Russell in the back.
Hey, guys. Help me. I hate David Keith.
Oh.
Another montage?
No, it's Keith David.
Keith David. I always get him mixed up.
Now, you'll notice people who are into John Williams' love themes.
Yes.
The love theme for Han Solo and Leia in Empire Strikes Back, the first two notes last for the exact same time as the first two notes of the love theme of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and their exact pitch, same two notes. Mm-hmm. And the two notes are the hook for the love theme. So they're very similar, and they're a year apart. And I remember a lot of people saying, John Williams, what were you thinking? The first two notes, the same, and they're the hook of both love themes.
Interesting. Okay.
I won't sing it, right, but right. If you listen to them, it's very, very obvious.
I think I was just humming it.
Well, how about the actual location
there's
shooting?
There's evil being, monkey.
I love being that used monkey, here. Though.
This was Morocco, right?
And if you look, they had to take all the TV antennas down from all the buildings
right.
in the background.
No CGI back then, baby cakes.
Yeah, they couldn't paint it out.
And I love the fact that she misunderstood the sarcasm.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like what an adorable creature. Oh, well, then it can stay. It's just
culture. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's our love theme. Same first two notes as Empire Strikes Back.
And here.
Now, the actor, screenwriter, or the what's his name?
John Rhys Davies.
Thank you.
Or John Rhys Davies.
Later became Gimli in Lord of the Rings.
He's wonderful. Right. He's wonderful.
Actually met him once when I was working at Discovery. He came in.
Oh, yeah.
He was narrating some show for us and got to meet him.
Very nice cool. Guy. Yeah. Classically trained actor out of Europe and England.
Belloc.
Again, it's interesting. It's fun to learn Indy's new friends when we meet this guy.
Right.
And they've all the history they've had.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be aped same on one. You. Just you know.
And this is where.
Look at that. Say once again. God damn it.
I love foreground background. Yeah. Foreground background composition is.
Well, and I think a lot of it is it's Spielberg working with Slocum together.
I agree.
Because Slocum brought decades of experience.
Your internet's down, but I mean, like, what's some of the newest stuff that Slocum has shot?
Well, Slocum passed away.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what I mean.
This was towards the latter part of his career.
Yeah. Was he the one that invented the camera that they used on Jaws and everything with Spielberg, where they actually used the water camera and everything?
Well, Bill Butler was the DP on Jaws.
Okay, then no.
Doug Slocum shot The Italian Job with Michael Caine.
Nice.
Did great work on that. Douglas Slocum was a great old school.
He was. DP. Well, he was a British DP, and he's a fantastic DP. I think he worked well into the 80s, maybe into the 90s, and then that was it. But he did
have a date.
He did Temple of Doom, and he did Last Crusade.
Here we go to another classic set piece.
It's a date.
That monkey is so evil. And then, of course, we're introduced to
the bad guy has to have a patch on his eye, right?
Well, it's a great signifier.
And this is the funniest.
I love the comic
ever.
Relief here.
Oh, my God.
And now we know, of course, they're all German. No, and of course, they're
he actually responds.
Responds to it.
Oh.
The humor, actually, in a strange way, is so unique.
Yeah, and it's not
in this film. It's unique to itself.
It's not like stupid humor. It's like just situational stuff that actually turns out to be really funny.
Well,
look at that.
Honestly, this is like what I'd imagine a real Tintin movie to be like. Oh, I know, it's a great shot.
Beautiful pullback, and they're silhoueted by the light from.
Because if you're every Tintin.
That's the new film Spielberg's.
Well, they are working on that, but I mean, when I read the books as a child, this is what I'd imagine. If they actually did it right, it would somehow be this flavor. Nice.
Look at those shots, man.
And that was a great setup for when Indiana Jones was saved by the kids. Yeah. She said 8 or 9 kids of Sala has.
And she's dressed in red. We can't miss her in a crowd.
What great music, too. God dang it, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's great choreography.
This is great fight choreography through this,
Yeah.
Of who's doing what and what leads to the next thing.
And I like how she's banging him on the head.
Yeah, repeatedly.
And she's not stopping.
I like this. Great shot. And once again, his punches sound unique to everybody else's.
Right.
Wonderfully storyboarded, this film.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the old fruit cart.
And you see there, you see the making of this movie on the DVDs, and you see that these guys are like just sweating, the crew's just sweating their balls off, and they're just so hot and just.
And this is where Harrison Ford, coming up, he was very sick.
Yeah, he had a fever.
I mean, on location, and the runs hit everyone at one time or another.
Right. Yeah, and that's where the famous story is that. Mm-hmm. They came up with a bit of shooting the guy because Harrison was, he's so sick. He was so exhausted. He's so just horrible. And he's like, wouldn't I just shoot him? And it works perfectly.
And that's what I remember from all the history and background on this picture is, yes, it was storyboarded, but they were cavalier enough to do things on the set as it was happening to say, let's do this instead. Let's move it like this. And okay.
Well, I don't think it was necessarily cavalier. It's just they were able to improvise. Oh my God! This is the scene.
Great music. I mean, and these are things like the music cues that, as a kid, you don't pick up on. As a kid, whenever I'm seeing this, you're just enjoying yourself, and you don't know. Well, you don't know part of the reason why.
And writing wise, it's brilliant to have the monkey.
Yeah.
Be the one to reveal her.
Also, since the monkey dies at the end, we don't mind.
How's the monkey die?
Bad dates.
Oh, that's right.
Here we go. And once again, these baskets have been around this whole scene, all setting up. They had these baskets everywhere. So later, when this whole cue comes up, it's awesome.
And this is where Harrison Ford was very sick the day they shot this. That's great Arabian Nights music right there. Yeah.
And just in the theater, the
audience
went
crazy. The audience went absolutely. The laughing was still going on all through this.
You still couldn't believe it. You're just like, that's a perfect reaction.
It was a good thing there was no dialogue at this point because you wouldn't have heard it in the theater. People were laughing so hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Shot on location.
I like that line. You can't do this to me. I'm an American.
Yeah.
A little cute.
Nice sleight of hand.
Great. Whoa, camera move. Jeez. Turns into camera. Oh, like this is awesome. Is it.
Nice.
Look at
right
that.
Into right lens. And then we pull back.
I think they come back to the...
and then we don't see what he's reacting to. That's what I love. We don't see what he's reacting
to. You want to know
what
it is.
And what a surprise is until they turn the camera.
That's what you do to hold an audience. You want to know what he's looking at. Right. And that's what you do to keep them riveted.
And the music's great.
One of the best.
She's a riot.
Great shot.
I mean, great obstacles.
And then talking about PG, this is like a Warner Brothers movie cartoon. It's like all that dynamite.
Yeah,
TNT.
You expect Wile E. Coyote in there. Acme explosives.
But like right here, when he shoots this guy in the head, it's a PG movie. It's like crazy. I love it though. Just boom.
Oof.
Yeah, it got by.
Look at that. See the canister right here that actually turned it over?
Yeah.
Ah, good eye.
And that was a great shot when he comes into it.
Great classic stunts. You know, when classic stunts are done well, you can forgive crap like that. I mean, it's so amazingly done.
Well, I mean, even you still couldn't tell. And what's great is the coordination. Yeah. And if you'll notice, there was no one in the square when that happened. And the way they got away with it was basically with Harrison Ford's acting in the scene. It was just how excellent it was. And Marion's dead. And all he's got is the minky.
What I couldn't get is, why is he drinking at a table in the middle of a street?
Because it looks good.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Well, that's the... Oh, good point. I'd have to watch that again.
Yeah. It looks good.
I was thinking that's just the edge of the building.
It's probably it could be a cafe or something.
Outdoor cafe and
Yeah.
There you go. There's your answer, Jonathan.
It still looked like he was. Street.
Well, when that shot happened, he probably was.
So anyhow, I spoke with Bruce Joel Rubin, the guy who wrote Ghost and whatever, Jacob's Ladder, a whole bunch of other stuff. And we were talking once about screenwriting, and he said, to have a good story is you have to give or almost give your hero something that they really want and then take it away from him, and then the rest of the story, he tries to get it back.
Mm.
That's what his...
Nice.
It's pretty basic, but it works. Yeah.
I'm not gonna argue with that.
It's like he's smoking hookah there, you know? Yeah, and we don't know yet that they're all with him. Yeah. He's always got like a gang around him to be able to talk tough. And Me and Tim enjoyed watching a movie with him together. Was it Hot Fuzz?
Which, who are you talking about?
Yeah, Hot Fuzz. He was one of the townspeople.
Paul Freeman?
Yeah. Was he? Oh, I totally. Yeah.
Oh.
I love Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. Mm.
He was one of the. Oh, that's great.
See, look at all this.
That was, that was a little throwaway shot.
Yeah. Alcohol's hitting Harry scene.
I like how he's just hiding the fan. Mm-hmm. The very edge.
And the shot lasts. We're not cutting between the two. If someone wants to do an experiment, watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, count the seconds of each shot until the next shot, and then go watch Prince of Persia and do the same thing and see if there's a difference.
Or go watch any of the Mummy films with Brendan Fraser, you know, and you'll see the difference.
That's just a good point.
I love that first Mummy film.
I actually kind of enjoyed the first one, but the second two, holy balls.
No, the second one, I'd never seen the first one. I was like, what is this?
I think I actually liked the second one. I don't quite remember.
This is one long shot.
It is.
And again, it's just thrilling to watch actors act.
But it's great. I mean, it's great mise-en-scene because he's got him look, you know, he's looking off camera so that Freeman could look straight. You know, Belloc could essentially look.
He's got great eyes.
Now it's back to the over. That's a great line. I've got nothing. And he pulls his gun.
And the children.
Yeah, the children save the day.
So anyhow, if you want to go with the whole structure thing, the 45-minute scene is the metaphor for the ending, and he says that it's the ark is a transmitter for speaking with God.
And that we know is true.
What's its call sign?
Well, although right there he's telling him we're so much the same, they're actually so much different, whereas Indiana Jones believes in what's visceral and real right in front of him, whereas he does believe in the myth. He does believe in the magical stories that's that he's being told, and he wants to believe it, so that's where they're so much different.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, Indy just wants to get, he wants to get the artifact so that it can be preserved and studied.
Right.
As opposed to used as essentially as a source of power, much less a weapon.
Yeah.
You guys just missed some monkey looping. Loop the monkey.
Oh, goes no.
Back into the I thought he was at a confessional here.
Wait, was he looping for Planet of the Apes?
Oh, dear Father, I've sinned. My last confession.
Oh, no, it's great because he's looking through that so you know where you are and you hear the music.
Look how they pull focus on that.
Now, my question is, when anyone saw this the first time, did you actually think Marion was dead at this point?
Yes.
I didn't remember.
Well, I mean, you thought, but you said, she can't be dead that soon. I mean,
you never know.
I was a kid. I think
I 10 years old, I probably believed she was.
Well, but I think at the time, that was my reaction.
Wait, Marion's dead?
Oh, dude. Spoiler alert.
Son of a bitches.
Bad dates.
Tabasco.
Bad dates. That's right. It's mustard.
Hey, someone left the door open.
Hey.
Look at that. It's the midget from Willy Wonka.
It's an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, my God. the you know what? Willy Wonka.
He's got the same nose.
It's Oompa Loompa slumming.
Maybe it was.
It could be. If my internets were up, then I could check that.
Nice set. I like that set.
You know what? I think you're right.
I'm going to bug the shit out of me. I think it might be.
Is that the Oompa Loompa?
I think it's Oompa Loompa.
The guy that played all the Oompa Loompas in the new...
In the new...
Yeah, in the new one.
The Tim Burton one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Damn it.
I think you're right.
I got a quest.
His face looks good for you, Curtis. I think that's the same face.
It's one of my gifts. That drives my wife crazy. Oh, man, wait, person was in this movie.
I'd be so happy if we found the Oompa Loompa guy in Raiders.
And if it was him, is that crazy?
Oh, man. You heard it here first, listeners.
Looky here.
We push in. Love all the pillars to break up the set. Very nice.
But look how full the scene is. Look how full the set is.
And look how nicely lit.
That blue light right there.
That's right, because he didn't get the right height of the staff because the burn wasn't even.
You know, Serge, I want to do a modern movie soon, just so then we can see if Curtis and Tim are right about all these shots and all this stuff.
drives me crazy.
We've done modern movies.
Well, but something like Inglourious Bastards isn't a good example because Tarantino does do a lot of that stuff.
Right, right. Older. He's right.
And how about Batman Begins? Never mind.
That's cut very quickly.
I know it is.
The first sequence of that is cut like a climax to most any other movie. If you watch the first sequence,
they're digging in the wrong place.
It's also shot.
They're digging in the wrong place.
It's also shot in IMAX too. Right.
It was released
now. This song is from the Pirates of Penzance that he sings.
This is great.
Look at this,
and he grabs it. What he was singing was from the Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, yeah. That's good to know. I never knew that.
Yeah, I never knew that either, and I ran across it.
I thought, John Williams, what'd you do? You wrote a little ditty?
No.
Okay. Aww.
Well, later he sings it on the boat when Marion kisses him.
He does, yeah.
I am the gun.
Beautiful establishing shot. I also picture...
Actually, no, I take that back. It's HMS Pinafore.
Watch how long this dolly is.
Go over to Sullivan.
The excavation scene, I expect the extras to be singing the theme from Close Encounters and Third Kind. It's like the same desert scene from Close Encounters.
But look at this dolly scene.
Beautiful set.
And now they had to dig that track in that desert.
This would have been a hard gig to be.
Was this Morocco or Tunisia?
This must have been Tunisia.
They did go back to Tunisia?
I can't say that for sure, but I would imagine so.
Anybody? Are we not?
And look,
right to left.
Are we not over a dolly track as we're dollying?
Are we not nerdy enough to know that they're in Tunisia?
It's intersecting dolly tracks, and we have a technical snafu,
ladies and gentlemen.
We just lost time by a few seconds.
Mm-hmm. I think we lost 3 seconds.
I apologize. I will not.
It's okay.
Bang.
No banging.
Yeah, no banging, Curtis. No, you messed the mojo of the whole DVD experience.
Okay, so just so that we all know, there.
I never noticed Harrison Ford tripping over the fence.
Drop the pole in the hole.
Yeah, so we'll tell you exactly when they're going to drop the pole, so we can all. we'll resynchronize when they drop the pole in the hole. He's got it, and it's dropping now. And there we go.
Clink, clink. Ooh, we do have a glitch. But this is.
I like how they're being really discreet. It's like, I'm just looking, and I'm falling into a hole. And there we go.
Oh.
It wasn't me.
You should have proofed it. I didn't know there'd be glitches.
But once again, a classically amazing piece of music right here, right, Tim?
This is one of the best things of the movie.
Like, it has such
a religious awe about it.
And then what about the acting on Harrison's face here in a minute, whenever he's just like the anticipation of like, I'm going to find it, and just crazy.
This is an iconic sequence.
Yeah.
The music. This is very cinematic.
The music is just ridiculous.
Oh, and it's great how they pull the support team away, which is great.
And the music is so beautiful away from the film as well.
It's sort of like
just listening to it on its own.
It's
such
great.
A beautiful experience to listen to the score.
And you know
it
what?
It all works.
What I really appreciate about it too is that they used what sounds to me like real Germans speaking. We're speaking English with a German accent for your benefit.
Anyone who's into film scores, this is one of the most classic builds. Of a piece. Where this thing goes and where it builds and crescendos.
Listen to that. I love that piece right there.
Yeah. Three notes. It's three notes.
It's awesome.
And it represents the entire awe of the art.
And for anybody that doesn't live in LA that can't go see John Williams at the Hollywood Bowl and get to hear this live, they're really kind of missing out. It's pretty bitching.
I love the strings, and he has this ethnic sound over it. So you know you're in Cairo, wherever they're at. Where are they right now? Is this Cairo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice run on the strings right here. Oh, and then
he looks back up to the light. Oh.
And you have the brass finish it off.
Right, and the staff is the right height.
But look how that flashed the camera right there.
And we got
it's a flare.
Nice flare. I thought it was behind the palm tree, but it wasn't. The sun was right there. Okay.
And what's so great about the writing is it's like, okay, so you got this long scene. He's inside here. Nobody's shooting at him. And nothing. So what you got to do then is put the friend in jeopardy and screw that up.
Mm-hmm. Tension.
So then there's tension there.
And here's the music and the visuals.
And remember, this goes back to the scene in when he was explaining what he was going to do. So now he's accomplishing what he said he was going to do, part one.
And we're right with him. And the choir kicks
which is
in.
1 hour later, yeah.
And of course, it's going down right behind, the sun is right behind the pole.
It started when he shoved that in the hole,
yes,
too. It's like,
that's right.
And it's every piece since then. But look at Harrison.
I usually hear a choir when I shove it into the hole.
Did you say used to?
Holy crap.
But look at this. Look at this.
Nice chords through this. It's really cool.
And then the sound when
oh,
it goes.
I like that. Oh, I never noticed that. They actually.
Yeah,
graffiti.
There's writing on there's some German. There's some German written on
there's
it.
How, graffiti on there. Yeah.
That's sacrilege.
Look at this. And then for it to be
oh, because that's what that's where they thought it was. Right. Okay, I'd never seen that before. Now he knows the actual location.
I can hear Harrison.
And not only
there.
That, but he almost goes blind.
Well, I think that's it can be argued that maybe that's the moment where he starts believing in the power of this thing.
No.
Nah, come on.
No.
Light? Anything?
No.
Give me something? A bone?
No.
All right.
There's no hesitation.
Okay.
He's only... his excitement is finding it. That's his excitement. It has nothing to do with the mythology yet.
And again, how long have we gone without dialogue? It's all visual storytelling.
And music.
I know. It's awesome. Oh, nice. Oh, comic relief with...
Hey, it's a Spielberg film. Right. You got to get the Nazi symbol in there.
Oh, jeez.
Now we go back to a military sound in the music. Actually, this is the sound that they used in Close Encounters when they were...
I like how Harrison looks sitting right there. Just
trying to make a cover-up of the military, trying to cover up around Devil's Tower. It has that same John Williams motif in the music.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
To my ears, it does.
No,
it's like they're very close cousins.
Oh, that's...
Let's just say that.
Right.
And there
she's
she is.
She's alive!
Miriam's alive!
I was very surprised when I saw this, but I'm like, okay.
I like how he totally is like gonna free her, and then he realizes he stops.
Which is a great writing beat because it's like
I don't think that's ever been done before.
It had never been done before. It's like yes, I found you. Let me free you. And no, wait a minute.
If I look at this great acting right here,
yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. I was thinking with my dick, and now I'm not. Okay. He even gags her again.
That is a great flip-flop.
And he's got the romantic scene.
That's great.
Yeah, we got the romantic music over him re-gagging her.
I like how he's just working right under their nose and everything. It's nice so too. Great.
Yeah. Well, especially when they found them, going into the hole before.
I like that. Then he adjusts the focus, and we see him adjusting the focus. It's nice.
Took his time.
So this actor is Paul Freeman.
Yes.
Okay. What has he done lately?
I don't know.
Besides Hot Fuzz.
Don't know. I don't think he ever did anything big. He may have done lots of television. He may have been a British actor. May have done work, but I really never really saw him. I think the only person I saw after this was Ronald Lacey. Do a few things, character things, and that's it.
I know he's French and not from Paul Brazil Freeman or something, but he reminds me of Rosano Brazzi, the old actor.
Great payoff.
There we go.
Show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I like how Sala's been able to get together a crew of their own.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Of course, nice shot.
I love the way they populate the entire background there.
Yeah, that's great. The reveal also.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that we didn't have to see him put together this crew, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just shows you how smart people are, They don't need everything spelled out.
But also we see how smart, how quick and resourceful they are that they could do it that quickly.
It's the worst looking shovel I've ever seen.
Nice music.
Every time
to the
I was
shovel.
A kid, I even watched. I'm like, how does he dig with that thing? It's horrible.
This is a great shot here.
Yeah. Nice telephoto lens. It's a almost Lawrence of Arabia lens right there.
He puts the hat on so we know exactly who he is.
There he is. Look at that. God damn.
Yeah, it's that hat.
Can you guys just throw dirt up in the air, please? More dirt.
A little higher.
More dirt.
Keep on digging.
And here's our cloud effects. Here's ILM, Industrial Light and Magic.
Here's our green screen,
the most fake shot in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
I love it. It works fine. It reminds me of the old ILM days.
Yeah.
It is great. I'm so glad they chose to have a storm going on in this sequence. Seriously, it's great. Different cloud effects from the ones in Close Encounters.
Oh, yes.
The ones in Close Encounters still hold up 100%.
Okay, so this is the one-hour mark. So we're at the middle of the movie, and this was where the bad guy is worse than we thought. And so one is the bad guy is God.
We're getting,
this is serious stuff now. You know, even the most skeptical person can start piecing together that something's amiss.
even Indy,
I love the pressure change.
Doing that,
Indy's not suspicious about this big, huge alien, UFO cloud moving in.
I thought he was a little bit when he looked around. Those are
you see, he's got a crazy look in his eye.
Yeah,
I love his reactionary
snakes. Yeah. That's great.
You go first.
That's fantastic.
Sorry.
But see how it's not ridiculous.
It's lightly
just
goofy,
right, right there.
Yes, it's just
a natural reaction. What somebody would say to put a
big
put away the
face
fact that
face.
I just almost pissed myself in front of you.
That's right.
And I'm sure Spielberg has horrible memories of this entire sequence because they could never get enough snakes. The snakes wouldn't move.
Well, that's second unit right there.
Right, but for most of the stuff, if you look, as the sequence goes on, they're very lethargic
kind of
snakes.
I think I remember seeing some of the sequences. I need the snakes to move. Come on.
How do you make a snake move?
Spielberg went out of his mind trying to
this
get the right
snake
effects.
This is a great shot. Look at that pull-up and then
awesome.
This.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Right, because remember, he doesn't mind spiders.
This is a great line. That's great. You go
and he looks at him
no
like,
look.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And then now this is also where the bad guy's worse than we thought. He has stolen everything else from Indy, and now he's trying to steal his...
lady.
Thank you.
I was going to say something very vulgar, but I'll keep it clean.
Yeah, you guys don't know who Rosano Brazzi is, but this... Paul Freeman guy with the way he's dressed.
Wait, isn't
acting.
That the guy in
South Pacific?
South Pacific, yes.
No,
probably more famous.
Yes, yes, yes.
Al Pacino, Godfather movie with Leo Bronzi.
No, that's
the
another
guy.
That
got killed?
Anyway, but it's just a very interesting similarity that I'm seeing.
Sorry. Right.
For those who know old movies, you'll say, oh, yeah, Rosano Brazzi.
Exactly, Rosano Brazzi.
I like the searchlight in the background. That's great. Now, this was, I remember hearing what these two actors did in order to flesh this scene out that wasn't on the page. Spielberg had them go off and come up with the scene the way we see it now.
Oh, really? Nice.
That's what I recall, yeah. And it is wonderful interplay between the two of them.
Oh, it is, because she's smart and
she's toying with him, yeah.
I have my internets back up. It appears Paul Freeman did a whole bunch of British TV. Some American TV, too.
But once again, see how long that shot was?
They see
how what it was?
They came in the tent. They unhooked her. They did everything. He came in. He sat down. Put the
and I felt like a fly on the wall.
You're the fourth wall.
You're in there. Yeah. Sarah, what do you want to point about the mirror where she's changing?
Yeah.
Karen Allen's back was very nice.
Ah.
Well, I'd rather see her front in the same situation. But she's very. But once again, she's pretty and she's attractive without being like so. Nowadays, you got a Bruckheimer film, and the lab tech is some gorgeous model from Australia, and you're like, okay, all right.
I was really glad to see her in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I was just glad to see that she's back in the franchise.
Yeah,
but then it was very. But there's, it was very contrived by that time.
The storied history of how the story changed. I mean, because originally, Mutt wasn't going to be in there. It was going to be the two of them. But the order came down. I mean, I don't know. This is what I heard. They came down that, you know, there had to be
a young person,
so it became the son, which makes sense, but then it became about him as opposed to about them.
Because to me, I mean, Marion and Indy, I mean, they are the team.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they
out
felt
of all that, these movies, that's the way I feel.
I guess they felt that a team of, you know, people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s was just not compelling enough for the little kids.
And, of course, we do have our faux pas of the sheet of glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it works.
Is there a sheet of glass there? Here in a second,
yes.
You'll see it.
See in a
There's
second.
A reflection
with a flash.
That makes it obvious.
Let me see.
You'll see it.
It's a closer
when,
shot.
When he strikes, you'll see it. But great music under this, too.
No, but Harrison Ford is awesome here as he's creeping away.
Oh, wow. Did they clean it up in this version or something?
I didn't see it.
Because it's very hard to see.
Yeah.
I think in our special edition, they may have removed it because it was on everyone else's nerves as well.
Yeah.
Who made this film. So.
Oh, very good job then.
Yeah, that was great.
And on that manipulation, I'm fine with.
But how iconic of a film is it that we all knew the same shot we were talking about?
This is in our lexicon.
Yeah.
And then some.
Right.
Poor snakes.
And look, this is so well shot.
But look how that fire right in front of the camera. Great.
Foreground.
Well, also
foreground.
They pulled the focus really quickly on that one. Or did they?
I don't know.
We can't go back
and
find out.
It was blurry.
Yeah. Well, but here's where we're getting the payoff of the beginning
scene. The drinking.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that's the great thing.
It's great. The boomerang stuff. The stuff that comes back later in the movie.
That's why she mentioned it as soon as he gave her the drug.
He's like, whoa.
Well, you have the plan and the payoff.
And John Williams cued it.
You
know, so we're in on the joke.
I could chew. Frenchman.
And another one. She's like, let's go.
She's like, you want me? You got to go do it.
The snakes aren't moving.
Yeah. But you know
sleepy.
What? You're not focused on the snakes, though. I mean,
snakes,
I never noticed that as a kid.
No, the snakes are dead. He just killed them all with a fire, remember?
All of those?
Yes. Okay. All of them. They all fried.
That's true. I didn't even notice.
It's snakes. Fried snakes
See,
for
all
dinner.
Though, it takes,
smells like chicken.
It does taste like chicken. It takes its time. And
you ever
never
tasted
feel,
snake?
Yeah.
Does it taste like chicken?
Rattlesnake. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
There's a three-note motif for the arc.
But, like, look at that shot. Look how long it set it up. But yet, when you ever watch this movie, do you ever feel like you're being... It's going slow. I always feel like it's clipping along.
I'm
right
there.
Along.
What these shots do is you're right there with them. That's what I love about that style of editing.
I think there are modern movies that do that, too. I mean, maybe I think the styles have changed a little bit. And I think there are some movies that can hold our attention.
You're going to force me to go back and watch The Crystal Skull, aren't you? You're going to force me?
No, I would never do that to anybody.
And I will write an essay on it.
There's a difference between holding your attention and inhabiting the environment.
I think there's different ways to inhabit an environment.
There are.
Too.
But I inhabit an environment more when I'm allowed the time to do so.
Absolutely.
I love people acting drunk. We should do Arthur.
Well, she is acting drunk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I know. That's the thing. She is acting.
A character. Yeah.
Levels. An actor acting,
acting
to act drunk.
That's right.
Ooh.
I know. This is great. That's
nice touch.
Nice touch. Very.
And that's eye candy with that searchlight in the background. I love that. Going through the material.
Yeah.
Looks beautiful on a big screen.
Like
uh-oh.
He thinks she's joking.
She got sober. And he laughs.
That's
great reaction.
That he laughed. Yeah, that is brilliant.
I love the sight gag here in a second whenever the German guy comes in and he has his own hanger and they're like, what is that?
It's one of the all-time classics. That to me is
and
one of the
boom,
all-time
like, oh,
great
both
bits
of
to be
and
thrown
And what's so
in.
Funny is he's scared. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Balak's even scared.
Great suit on that guy.
Yeah, I like to wear black and leather whenever I'm in the desert. That's what I like to do.
Someone definitely likes Karen Allen's back because they've shown her back twice now.
Not only is the bit great, Karen Allen and Paul Freeman's reaction to
it
is great.
It's awesome. Yeah. But why would he act that way? He knows this guy.
But because we all think it's nunchucks.
It's
awesome.
The joke, man. Setting up the joke. And the music
awesome.
Cue, the
I wonder
violins,
who came up with
tension.
That. I wonder
and
who came up with that. Really, I mean, like who brought
that's
that?
One of the best. bits I've ever seen. So seriously, awesome. Guys, that's one of the best bits just to be tossed.
But that's
in.
The whole thing is this goofy, the goofy sense of humor didn't translate to the other films.
And you don't lose the tension afterwards, which is great. It doesn't wreck what is truly a tense scene. But it gives you that little respite, little break where you're just like...
Yeah, why can't I think of the actor's name? He reminds me of from Warner Brothers,
James Cagney?
No.
That's a good guess, so that's what it sounds
Edward G.
like.
Robinson?
Edward G. Robinson. Oh. He looks like Edward G. Robinson's little brother.
See? That's Eddie G.,
Now, you can't tell me that Indiana Jones is carrying this thing and doesn't feel like there's something mystical or supernatural going on.
Well, let's see.
John Williams does.
But look at this, how this is all played in shadows.
I mean, okay, you're right. They didn't all burn. They just burned a nice path.
Yeah, you can't kill all of them.
And what's actually the interesting thing that they're showing it in shadow is that they don't show the actual arc, and in a way that adds to its how shall I put it?
Mystery.
Well, they already have
to the reverence of it. In other words, it's so important that you can't really show it. It's like not writing the name of God,
which follows the logic of the film, not looking at it for the last scene.
Right, exactly.
So
don't
avert
look
your
at
eyes.
It. So here, that in a way is it. We didn't see it fully except when they pulled it out, and that was it. So we knew what it was.
It's a great shot.
Isn't that nice to show the set that way? And then we have what is that? Right before sunset when they shot that.
Another amazing dolly shot.
We have everyone asleep.
They just sleep in the desert.
But the only activity is over there, which draws his eye.
Look at that. And look at jumps that into frame. Is that awesome?
That was depth of field. That was two cameras. Mm-hmm. That had
it was.
To be.
Yeah. It was. Beautiful cut.
Oh, it was.
And there's our dolly track, which we use now, that I pointed out to you before, Curtis.
Yes.
I think you push forward.
Yeah.
Don't they? I don't know. Maybe they don't cut back to it. But
they probably use it as they probably built in dolly tracks all over the place. Yeah, that can't be good.
I love his reaction here again. Son of a bitch. When he looks down,
how are we doing script-wise here, John?
We're doing great.
Thank you.
And once again, here's him finding this great artifact, and this son of a bitch can't take it again.
But that's great. It's great writing.
So, right.
And he says it. It is now mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then to make the bad guy even worse than we thought, they give Indiana Jones a friend.
That's great.
Great reaction. Uh-oh. And this hurts, man. I remember each time she gets thrown in here.
That's right.
I love how they just use that and...
Upper dress, because then she hit her. She hit her. Hits her body
like
against.
Snake in the shoe.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Oh. Every time I just go, ow.
Yeah, we all go ow.
Ow.
Oh, this is this the glass shot?
Yeah, there's the glass shot. You just saw it. You can see it right now.
Oh, yeah, it's reflection against her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ah, there
you go. It was lower.
But it was also when
it was
he fell
in his other one too.
It was in the other one too. But
this I love how she gets on his back.
She's
like
just climbing.
That's fun.
That's
and
awesome.
I do remember seeing the making back. Of, and they do talk about that they did improvise a lot of this stuff down in here. And
that one leg over is just funny.
Funny awkward. Yeah, funny awkwardness there. And we lose our light.
What a great turn into camera like that. What a great iconic shot
as you're
of
looking
him
down.
On her.
And I love the fact. Now we're gonna watch the light disappear as they put this over. Nice backlit with the vehicle moving screen.
And
light.
Even you can tell he's getting a little bit miffed by these Germans.
Yeah,
like
there
you
goes
know,
our light.
You know, he doesn't agree with their methods and
nice
he doesn't
flare.
He doesn't
nice
want to work with them.
Nice use of flare.
Yeah.
But he
there's also
them.
Nice use of sound that cut off Marion's scream as the tablet was put into place to seal her off. To show you how solid
I
that
like
is.
How she hits his whip. Great idea.
Snake on his leg.
That is, I thought that was hilarious. That is so damn funny.
It's lots of nice.
Look at that. What a great show. Where'd you get this from him? It's great.
Nice little human moments. Yeah. Just human moments, so they're not cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so funny because, on my mind, that never even entered my mind that he'd be upset about.
Yeah.
and yet obviously it's not his.
More snakes.
No, a lot of second.
What were you saying, John, about something is gross and he goes and makes it grosser? Something is big, he makes it bigger. Yeah. Now we have more snakes coming through the walls.
Right. But once again, that's the clue. That's good writing because then it's the clue to what's
something's
what
on the other
next.
Side of the wall. Right. Now, I remember everything I've read
I love this. These right here, the John Williams music during this and the car chase.
Very heroic.
This stuff right here.
I was going to save my commentary for the car chase, how much I love
that
piece.
I know what you're talking about.
But this stunt actually went wrong when they filmed it of him trying to knock the statue over to go through the wall. It wasn't exactly as planned. It works enough, but what Spielberg wanted actually was not achieved.
What did he want?
I forget exactly what it was, but it was a much bigger stunt, more grandiose, and it didn't happen as planned.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I read something about that, too.
It was one of the bigger stunts that went wrong for this film that they shot. Not exactly to plan, I should say.
Love how earlier he was able... We established how...
A nice twist in.
How smart he was, and he was able to look through the wall and see that they're coming out right there.
Right.
Those sons of bitches, and we find that out. He's not some just knucklehead.
That shot right there. See it? Sort of knocks the wall over, I guess. It's supposed to be a bigger knock into the wall or something
like deeper
right.
in, like go
directly. Yeah.
It worked fine for me. And of course, the first thing that come up is the shoe,
which is funny. This just wigged me out the first time I saw it. I thought this scene lasted like an hour.
Interesting to hear how Williams always uses his woodwinds in interesting ways in this picture for. Eerie, odd moments. Now, this is, I think, the one most cartoon part of the movie for me. It's like, let's just make the kids really yelp out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's pretty extreme. This reminds me of the swimming pool scene in Poltergeist.
Yeah, this is right around the time of Poltergeist.
Just before. And it's the same over-the-top effect as used in the swimming pool, in my mind. Of all the skeletons for that just one moment to be gross.
Poltergeist was 82, so that was the next year after this.
Well, see, that's what's interesting is we always figure out that, see, Indy is right. There is no magic to all this stuff. It's just most of it is practical stuff. Like, he was able to figure out how to get out of there. Yeah. It wasn't some crazy, you know. Yeah. Whereas in the other movies, they get a lot bigger and a lot more crazy. Yeah. It's like, all right.
Well, real quick, on the 74 minute of a script, it's right around when they get help from something unexpected, either a person or the universe or God. And at 74 minutes, they got the help from the statue that helped them knock through the wall.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
And this
That's
is
kind of a...
You always miss that when I was a kid. They're already putting all the stuff on the crate for
For the Ark.
Mm. But look at all this action going on this scene.
Populate the hills with those people. And this is such an awesome, iconic set piece action scene.
And how
right
much
here.
Would they allow certain actors to run around those props nowadays like that and do all this stuff?
And that's Frank Marshall in the cockpit, the producer of this movie. That's Frank Marshall. Another one of my favorite cause and effect sequences ever directed by Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
cause and effect in this sequence is genius in my mind.
There's our stuntman.
Same guy
from the first of the movie. And later in Temple of Doom,
he's the guy in the bar scene,
the one that shot the gun with him.
Aha.
And in Temple of Doom, he also plays the guy that's on the treadmill or on the rock quarry, the big guy that is beating up Indy in that one too, and then he gets crushed by the press.
So these are all real props going.
I don't know if they're real.
I don't
real
think they're
props,
real.
They're enough for the camera to pick up the spin of them.
I was going
to
say, because when that thing
they're
snapped off.
They're not optical effects. Those are real.
Yeah,
so when
really
that
spinning.
Thing snapped off, it really snapped off in it.
Yeah.
If it was a metal wrench. There.
Correct. Yeah, a prop that they used.
No, I mean, I realize it's not metal wrench.
But it's not optical effects or CGI, definitely. We're looking at something real that's rotating.
That's nice.
I love it. Oh, and I love that reaction that... Oh, he is screwed, man. he is screwed. No.
So excellent focus shift work in this, too, as I recall.
But this is also what makes Indiana Jones the hero that everybody loves so much, is that he somehow is able to kind of dig himself out of the trenches somehow and get past it all and win.
That's nice.
Right.
Even against the worst of odds.
Again, foreground, background, something in the middle. Great composition.
And that also could be the 74-minute scene, because actually it's 78, where you get help from somebody else.
Oh, the plane.
Because the point is, between 60 and 90, things are so bad that the hero cannot possibly do it on his own.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be too simple. So at some point, it really looks like he's going to fail, and then somebody helps him out.
All the POVs, all the points of view in this sequence, inside the cockpit, as it rotates, we're rotating, the camera's moving around, the background, what they're doing, what Indy's doing, all the chronology, the timing, going back and forth.
I love that she took the guns and shot the Germans.
Yeah, that she didn't just sit there and become worthless.
And you know, and she hasn't, she's never been worthless.
But what are the odds?
And of course, it's like it's a big Rube, it's not even Rube Goldberg. Well, it's like everything's happening. It's like, well, it's a bit of like a Rube Goldberg. This is one of the more brilliant action sequences. Yeah.
There's so much going on, and you're never lost.
It's so well directed because it's just a slow-moving plane kind of spinning, whereas nowadays they'd be like, can we make it faster? And
I don't like
but all the levels that are going on, it is incredibly well directed.
The dude is just sleeping.
And the fact that she just started the fire now, which is brilliant, that's going to cause the whole...
And you see now he sees the propeller coming, and he backs from it.
Well, as a level... as somebody that loves the underdog, as we talked about earlier, that what I love in this scene is whenever Indiana Jones just loses his mind here and just finally just gives, he's like, screw it. And he just starts drilling this dude. It works.
This reminds me of the birds a little bit, of the fuel moving towards the fire moving across and the cause and effect.
Right here. Yeah, just swats.
Good music.
What a great shot that is in between his legs.
Yeah.
And he turns into it, which is even better.
Tough.
Oh,
sweet.
Nasty.
We didn't see it, but we saw it in our mind.
Oh,
but it's great. Look at the fire in the background. Yeah, it's not CGI.
It's so good. And watch the stunt with these two actors running. It's just so good.
The timing is so beautiful because it has to turn the corner. Yeah. The flames come at them just as they get out.
And look, it goes right up there. I mean, that is real flame.
Look at this. Look at these two actors, these two stuntmen.
Yeah.
And women. But great shot. Great action sequence. Unbelievable.
So well planned. So absolutely well shot. Lots of movement. I love that. They're out on location, and they actually put track down instead of sticks to be easier.
And just one more explosion to punctuate it all.
Yeah, he knows. Jones. He's not stupid. He's like, all right. And I love this line. What a great line reading right here, and what a great line to give him. What truck? It's like, and then by this time, you're so on board. When you first saw this, you're like, that sumbitch is going to get it.
Yeah.
Nice choice to have him in silhouette.
Here it is. What?
And there's our cue. This
and,
cue.
And the cut.
What truck? And there's
and then,
that truck.
And then it's the cut. I mean.
And the music, everything.
This
and
cue
that truck.
Is one of my all-time favorite John Williams cues.
Well, are you talking about the one where he's riding the horse down the hill?
It starts here. It goes for the next 8 minutes.
It's beautiful.
This is an eight-minute cue.
Yeah. My favorite piece of this cue is whenever Indy's riding the horse down the hill, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. It's an awesome set piece, action-wise, and the music is just as awesome.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go. It's great.
Yeah. That's the whole point. Is he, you know, he's improvising, and that likely they improvised that line, and likely they that was the spirit of this whole thing. We've set our course.
Yeah.
We know where we have to go. We have problems to solve. We'll do it this way.
And shouldn't he heap more praise on Harrison Ford for improvising a couple of the best lines in any of his films? You know, whether it be Empire Strikes Back or this one.
Do you think they're really all?
I think not all. But I mean, like the Empire Strikes Back is
good
the famous
lips.
One. Was
well,
the,
I love you, I know it. That
was the famous line he did there. But I mean, by this time it's you're like going,
Star Wars.
And the son of a bitch rides the horse too. It's like, what else can this guy not do?
This is Indy.
But right here, here's the cue. By the way, that's a stuntman. Forget his name.
Looks like it. Yeah,
I forget his name. Right here, It's coming up right here.
Oh, because the rhythm changes.
Yeah,
the rhythm.
Watch. Right yes. Here. When he comes down this, right.
This rhythm.
Listen.
Yes. Hold on. Digs into this dirt. Yep. Now you have this military coming
in.
It's
just
this
the
military
best.
Sound.
That is awesome. I love it. Can you look up his stuntman's name? I can't remember his name. Super, super famous stuntman, and he was the choreographer for all this.
Oh, Terry Leonard.
Terry Leonard, yes. Terry Leonard is a famous, super super famous stuntman. And that's Terry.
And Terry Leonard on this was the second unit director.
Yes. So all that stuff you're seeing, I mean, all this stuff you're seeing, second unit stuff, is all Terry Leonard. And
well, this
the,
is, yeah.
The coverage is awesome in this sequence. Yeah. The coverage is mind-blowing.
This reminds me of all the making ofs that I saw about this.
And what a great, and just the whole fight sequence between the two of them and how they're both reacting. And there's the Wilhelm. You have to have the Wilhelm.
That's right.
I miss this.
Is a falling and yelling? Is that
it's a scream.
Yeah, it's that scream.
It's a famous scream.
Look at these two. They're both reacting. I like how they both. Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's okay. Yeah.
And we don't need you anymore. What a great stunt.
You're toast.
Good placement. Good placement.
You're a Nazi. You're expendable.
I really miss this when I watch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I miss this type of action sequence so much.
Yeah.
I really wanted this back. Nice.
Yeah, this chase scene just goes on forever. It's really,
but it's so well directed. Yeah. Those trucks are moving like 20 miles an hour, and look how well directed it is. It's just
And here's an optical effect. This is ILM, isn't it? Where they go off a cliff.
Where they go off a cliff here in a second.
Yeah.
You think he's out of it?
And I always said like. Cliff? What cliff? There's no cliff around.
Like right here. I like it when he sticks his arm out, like almost like he's flipping the bird or something.
And he smiles.
Oh, is that what you imagined he was doing?
Yeah, okay. Like, yeah, I got you, you sons of bitches. Come up on a motorcycle.
Great music.
Yeah.
And here's another. There's so many great music cues during this.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
Here's our optical. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. This was great.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go along the truck.
Where this goes. The logic of the scene is just so awesome.
Well, I mean, they just follow the logic. It's basically peeling away the whole convoy.
Yeah.
I mean, this, I got to say, I don't know. For me, it's pure Spielberg, this whole part
agree.
Here.
I was. It's just thrilling to me. Still is to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
But I love how dirty and gritty the windshield is, and you know, you can't see him, as you know, it's not clear. Great stunt.
And, yeah, and he's all genuinely he's happy. All happy, yeah.
And then the gunshot right here and the blood all over the window.
That's great.
Ooh.
Ooh. Wow. That was a nice
and
jet spray.
Reacts.
And now it's not all fun and games.
Yeah. Now we get that.
Now we get to the next level.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Our hero bleeds.
Now so when he gets his revenge on this guy,
we
are so with him.
When you throw him in the head against that, he's like, oh, by the way, you did this to me. Now this is how it's really done.
And now you've got the boss guy. Yeah.
Here's another great cue.
Yeah, against that same rhythm that was with the horse coming down the hill.
Right there.
Yeah, it's just that unrelenting onslaught music. I love that the hat's gone.
Yeah.
And they match it to this, so it was shot in order. That's great. Great music cue. Oh, and that must have hurt. Oh, right in the wound.
And what does he do? I'm going to punch you in your wound.
So we hate him. How much can we hate this guy, guys?
And he's got
this
blood all over his fist and just.
Oh, man, look at this.
And this was great.
This is like the Road Warrior. I mean, this is,
except for it's before the Road Warrior.
I know, but you're
look
right.
At this.
And he's trying to hang out. I mean, maybe the joke is that all Mercedes-Benz products aren't good and bad.
Awesome.
I don't know.
He has to straddle the front wheel to make it even more
was that
precarious.
Monument Valley? No.
No,
this is not Monument Valley.
It looked like
St. John Ford.
John Ford country.
It kind of looked like it.
And, of course, they dug their little trench for this next shot.
And this is Terry Leonard right
here. Oh, this is all Terry Leonard.
They had a convoy of crew remove all the small little pebbles out of that trench.
Yeah.
So the stunt guy would have nothing but smooth dirt.
And I believe they sped it up, though, right? Like,
I don't think so. I think that was actual speed.
I thought this was sped up a little.
They could maybe. No,
that's normal
speed.
He's being drugged, and that's Harrison Ford.
They sped that up a little bit. Just a little bit. Not double time.
But once again, watch him. He just gracefully comes up there, and he just says, all right.
Such propulsive music.
It's like, how is this even? Yeah.
Wham!
We're like, get him, get him. I remember the entire crowd
in
the theater
right.
was just
like over the hood.
Get a taste of your own medicine, pal.
Now listen to this.
And we just had a tempo change. I think the music is going
faster.
Look at
that.
Him in the foreground. The stuntman was in the foreground. The truck is in the background.
Put some sandbags great. You can drive over there.
Oh.
That's a great shot. And then you know he's going to win. It's like, wow, this
And
guy,
here's our hero
well,
theme.
You think he's going to win.
Well, but I mean, like, he's going to win this battle, you know.
And the story is that John Williams came up with two different themes he liked the most, and Steven Spielberg said, put them together. And that's what makes the Indiana Jones theme. You have the one theme, then you have, like, a bridge theme. And I can't sing those, but it's those two themes that Spielberg said, put them together, and it makes the entire indie theme.
Very interesting.
Well, see, like right here, you believe that Sala has gone ahead and somehow choreographed this to where this really does happen, you know, so it's believable.
Omar's Garage. That's what it says at the top. Omar's Garage.
You get the tires and you get...
Omar's Pit Crew.
I see Sunlight Soap.
There's Omar's Garage on the top.
It says
right.
Omar's Garage.
That is hilarious. I had never seen that. Sunlight Soap.
Right. And what's great, too, is it also answers the whole question of Belloc always saying, you pick the wrong friends.
Yeah.
And obviously he's not picking the wrong friends.
Well, because Belloc's the bad guy, and he's wrong.
Yeah. Nice backlight. He's got those lights back there, and you put some smoke in between. Foreground,
and
we light him
and now
as
we're
lighting
introduced,
a cigarette.
And now we're introduced a new character.
What's his name?
Mr. Katanga.
Oh, that's right, Katanga.
Wasn't that the villain's name in Live and Let Die? Katanga.
Close, that's right. It sounds very
Yaphet
close.
Kotto. That's first right. Roger Moore Bond.
1973, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Ah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Who did the score?
That was George, what's his face?
Martin.
George Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Beatles man, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
He produced the Beatles.
Ouch, there's his wound. I love that. That's great. He's such a good friend, he's not going to tell him.
And that's what's so great about this whole submarine sequence whenever you're realizing how beat up and this guy's suffering through this. It's like, you know, it looks graceful. And, or
it's
it looks
not the
easy,
age,
but
it's,
man,
the mileage.
It's the mileage. And then the whole, I mean, but going back to our gags that we've been talking about this whole movie that work, even the spinning of the glass, you know, spinning of the mirror.
See, that was great. Mm-hmm. She kisses him and then you hear the horn. That was a great gag.
Is this Gilbert and Sullivan again?
Yeah.
No, that's not Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah, that is Gilbert and
oh,
Sullivan.
Oh, that is right there?
Yes, it is. Okay. I don't know what it is. It is. I don't know what it's from. It's probably from Pinafore.
It's a lot of light they're throwing on that boat.
And that's so
but
nice
it's
that
but
like
it's nice blue
other.
Light.
It's
that I believe.
It works well. Yes, that was a day for night shot, wasn't it, of the ship in the water?
Do we forgive day for night?
Oh yes, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Okay, I just want to know if we forgive day for night.
It is pardoned.
Sometimes we don't.
That's true. He's looking a little worse for wear. Great bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see his reaction, right? We go to the exterior of the boat
just
to
just
hear
the
him. Yeah.
It sounds like a garbage can getting crushed by a baseball bat.
It is such a stupid gag. We're like, okay.
It's fantastic.
And, well, you know what? I don't know if Kasdan wrote this or not or how it became, but it's just a great bit to where how they end up making out. You know, it's like, well, here, and...
Well, it's the gag of them making out because there was a payoff to it.
Go away. good light on his eyes. His eyes pop.
He's got great acting.
Oh, he's got great eyes.
The DP made sure that we saw them
at first, and then he did. And
which is wonderful to have, you know, your blinds right over there. That gives you those slats. Keeping the blinds
only
all the time.
The whole
for
thing
the
is that he's actually holding up his head, because that would hurt.
In his condition, it would hurt a lot.
But clearly, it's not hurting that much.
He's willing to sacrifice to maintain the moment.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
She kisses like she drinks.
Yes.
Hey, it's the reverse of the poor Marianne. The
they never can get it right. What's her line? We never can get our act together.
Never get a break.
Let's find out. We never seem to get a break.
We never seem to get a break, do we?
And here's a great little shot of how powerful the arc is. Mystical. And there's a synthesizer. I think I hear a synthesizer in John Williams' score right there.
Oh, I would never believe that.
And that were they depriving that little mouse of air? Is that how they got that shot?
No, I think mouse was acting.
I think he was dancing.
I think he got directions.
I think the Humane Society would be very interested to know how they got that shot.
There's a grip blowing a secondhand marijuana smoke on him. The mouse actually had a high.
Ooh.
What was that for?
She's not wearing nothing.
She's naked under all that fabric.
She ain't naked.
She's naked under the blankets.
It's a lot of blanket fabric. Where do you get a submarine from when you're shooting a picture? You say, we'll just get a submarine.
You make a phone call.
To Submarines RS? To Subway?
That's...
what?
I'm sure for a price, a submarine can be gotten.
Oh, yeah.
But I just find the stuff like that interesting. These procurers of...
You can get U.S. military stuff, but usually the script has to speak highly of it. If you're going to do a script that disses the military...
Then you got to go to another country.
Harder, right?
You criticize U.S. military, they won't let you use their stuff.
They won't rent it to
that
you.
That makes sense.
But you can get some decommissioned vessels. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Okay. I think that's the actor.
You just take
from,
it for granted. But when you actually think about it, it's like, wow. What actor?
This actor.
If you think about it, they would have actually gotten an authentic, you know, German sub of some sort, some kind of U-boat that's been preserved. Yes, Curtis.
This black actor in the black shirt and everything. That guy right there.
Yeah.
He's in Top Secret with Val Kilmer. He's one of their crew. In that movie, so.
I like the squealing of the sail.
It's a very Ennio Morricone kind of.
It sounds a little Once Upon a Time in the West with the windmill, doesn't it?
It's great sound design.
Yeah.
It's them pulling up the arc. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh.
Right behind her head.
That's nice. The sound
and nice and symbolic, because in that way she's valuable and the arc is valuable as the arc. And the reveal.
Are they going to pull her up on ropes too?
I think it's great too that the Nazi calls him Savage.
Yeah. And there's Karen Allen on the deck.
In a very flimsy nightgown with a lot of wind.
Yes. And no underwear apparently.
Yep.
I will avert my eyes and look at the pirates behind her.
Averting our
arg. Look at the pirates. Arg.
You can't have a submarine with a guy not doing some directions.
Of course, so we know what's going on. And there's, of course, the captain we see for one shot.
But he was like walking it like somebody was on stilts, which was so damn funny. I don't know. I'd love to know if that's a real move.
I just want to just
chocolate moose.
For everyone listening right now, I just want you to know we had a little technical glitch and we've resunk things. And hopefully, if it's all working right, we'll be in sync. Oh. Indiana Jones is climbing on the sub. Right on top now, so
he's pulling himself up. Oh,
he's on top, and let's see, they're going to cheer in a second, and he's waving. There we go. So now we're all in sync. Of course, my question is, how does he stay on the sub all this time?
You know,
and it's very good that the sub didn't dive for the rest of his journey.
You know what?
I
read a comic. No, whenever I was younger, they had a comic of Indiana Jones, and it did dive, and it had a sequence of him holding on to like the periscope. as he's like, you know, at,
oh, because it
water,
has to stay above water.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay,
so
I can buy that.
He's holding onto the periscope, and he's like getting drug along by the.
Buy that.
But look how far they're traveling.
I know. Now, my other question is, why are they going to this abandoned island? Weren't they supposed to deliver this to Hitler first?
Oh, because
he wants to open it.
It's explained real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
gets
it.
Arrogant.
He sold them on the idea.
Of opening it first. Opening but that was a great shot, by the way. That was awful.
It's very Spy Who Loved Me. The Fortress and Spy Who Loved Me with the submarines. It reminds me of the same
was before. No?
Yeah. 77.
Yes. 77, yes.
It just could be the same location.
But Belloc told him earlier, you're going to take this to him and not know the power of it and everything. Yeah. You idiot, you stupid, you fool. You
Thanks
know?
For reminding me, yeah.
And because Belloc said that's what his plan was all along.
Yeah.
He wanted to really see it because he's a real archaeologist.
Actually, it's likely that this might have been the same set as Spy Who Loved Me.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, how many submarine sets do you, or docking? I mean, this is
the 007 stage.
Classic Spielberg.
Pinewood
is where
they did Spy Who Loved Me. So if they shot this at Pinewood, it could very well be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This could have been a real dock.
This is my lovely woman. I love her, and I will rescue her.
I like how the fact that he takes this guard, but then yet the suit doesn't fit. It's great.
That's
it's awesome. It's like, oh, now I got to do it again.
Yeah,
that's good writing.
It is
that
because
it doesn't work out so conveniently
it's so
for him
over and over again.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey, all right, here we go." Oh,
right.
That's so funny.
Nice touch.
And then for him to be lectured, and he starts combing his hair. Yeah. It's great.
It's a great scene. Yeah. Great comic bit.
And then you just see his hat fly up. I love this.
He's in rough shape.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That was well choreographed because clearly someone had
good
to
timing.
Throw that up right.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Good timing
and very good ADR because that person was not speaking the German.
Actually,
that's
this
right.
Is it right
here's
here.
The explanation. Yeah, I like how Ronald Lacey isn't just in the background over his shoulder.
The man in black.
One true arc.
So it's really interesting. They have essentially three bad guys. You've got the archaeologist. You've got the Gestapo guy, and then of course you've got the. I guess German Army, Wehrmacht, Toadie.
That's a very common theme in all the Indiana Jones movies where he just misses, like, the bad guy just misses him kind of like just off to the side or something. He's just in the vicinity.
Now that's
Tunisia. We need little the sand creatures.
I need an R2-D2
right?
In the background, please. Where's my R2?
You know what? There was like a, there is like, a little Easter eggs in these movies like that Lucas does where he does stick in some R2-D2 or some actual props from Star Wars.
No.
Well, R2-D2 is on...
I just can't remember what it was.
R2-D2 is on the mothership in Close Encounters.
Yeah.
He's part of the ship.
And Gremlins in the little model of the ship of Gremlins. Not Gremlins, excuse me. Goonies. Mm. There's an R2-D2 on the ship. So, like in the model of the ship that they have at Warner Brothers, there's a little R2-D2 sitting there that you can see it plain as day. But in the miniature, when you see it in the film, you can't. See, there's a walker. No, I'm just kidding.
Nah.
There was something.
I know I used to know where it was, but there is one of those situations in this where they actually do that. So,
I just love how innovative they become each time and what the tactics are.
Marion's happy.
She's like, bring it on. Oh, this is the fly scene.
That's right.
Also, what's neat here is now he wants the girl.
There it goes.
Oh.
And he eats it.
He does.
And they don't cut.
He ate the fly?
He didn't break character.
He ate Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, damn.
On vacation. Jeff Goldblum was on vacation in Tunisia.
He did not break character, man.
Holy jeez.
I remember I saw in the theater, the audience did a...
Yeah.
Again, another Once Upon a Time in the West moment.
Yeah.
Being irritated by a fly. He does good in this scene. Paul Freeman.
Yeah.
Like, he's just at the point where, no.
It's just his scene. What was the original name that George Lucas came up for Indiana Jones? It wasn't Indiana Jones.
I think it was Indiana Smith.
Yeah, I think it was a different one. Yeah.
Bobo the Clown?
Yeah, I don't think so. Cleveland Alexander. I think it was Indiana Smith.
Yeah, how that actor stayed cool under his leather jacket and black suit through all the desert
scenes. Ice suit.
See, and this is great. This is also great writing because here you have the cliched situation, which is, you know, you find a fresh way out of it. Is basically he can't carry out on his threat.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's all he's got.
Ah,
and so
nice.
He's just got to go with it.
Our matte painting with our starfield
and our studios at where they shoot this Pine.
I don't know Pinewood? What studio this was shot at.
I think it was Pinewood.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, really? Green screen.
They're doing green in 81. I think
was it still blue?
Yeah, I think it was blue.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up all that well. We forgive it.
Oh, this is a kick-ass scene. Are you kidding me? Yeah. This is the best.
Oh, what a great shot. Shooting right through there.
Again, foreground,
awesome.
Background, depth of field. Nice.
Awesome. Great lenses.
We like.
And I love the laugh by this other guy. It's fantastic.
Like he's a good cackler.
All of this for a bucket of sand.
Well, that's what he thinks. And now this calls back. Remember the scene at the beginning where Indiana takes mm-hmm. the sand out of the bag
yeah.
and then mm-hmm. holds it. We see the idol through the sand.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Cyclical.
It's a visual plant, and it pays off at the end.
Great light on Harrison Ford. And nice animation on the generator shorting out.
Right, and now that strange shit's happening, now he believes. Because up until now, he hasn't.
Yeah.
He's all been, this is all material.
And I love this.
It's like, okay.
John Williams brings it down. And there's our synthesizer.
Okay, it's a synthesizer.
That sounds like the UFO.
That's the
ominous power of the Arc synthesizer.
That looks like the UFO.
It's God. God loves piano. Electric piano.
Industrial light and magic.
Yeah, they're doing their magic all right.
And
this
amazing.
Is where he tells her.
Every time I've seen the movie after the first time, mm-hmm. I'm always like, shut your eyes! Shut your eyes!
Exactly.
Like, he hasn't said it yet.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone in the audience, their head gets blown up while watching this movie? That would have been a bad side effect to the box office potential of this film.
The Lost Ark really does have power.
That's right.
There's our cloud effects going full tilt.
This relates to another film, but back when I was in high school, The Exorcist came out, and the rumor was that anyone who watched The Exorcist would die 7 years later. But we were too young to see it, so I was like, well, whatever, you know. A kid's rumor, but... Very interesting.
That was Transformers 2.
That was
before the days of CGI.
Old school
opticals, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I love his scream, just so cheeky.
Their screams are amazing.
How they pull focus right there.
Oh, wow.
And John Williams is getting all...
Yeah, he's going
over the top.
Like he's just burning.
And the power goes through Belloc, and then it turns Belloc evil, and then he shoots it through all those men.
Yeah. No.
It did.
Great.
It did. It popped up through
it
him.
It went into him, then it burst out of him.
Oh, it did?
He became the vessel.
No, he didn't. He's still there.
Yes, he did.
Well, who?
No.
It was someone, remember,
oh,
right?
Or it was just in front of
him.
No, it
went up in front of him and then went out.
Okay. And this is, yeah, the... That's
now, all of that was animation, right? So they all went through... To have all that, so they sell, they
drew
them.
Melt, and they actually put the hot lights on this. I forget what material it was to make the face, and then it melted, and they shot it frame by frame.
But the light that went through them when it was
going, that was animation.
That was really great animation.
Yeah, it was good.
That was very good. And this
clouds
like,
part.
It's like, if you have any doubt about what's going on here.
I think we know who's in control.
Yeah.
And this is a great POV. It's God's POV. As we look down and the lid of the ark flies up.
Yeah.
That's God's eye point of view.
Yeah.
And there's in perfection, it lands right on the ark. That's great. And then clap of thunder. Oh, yeah.
And
the audience exhales.
And then magically, he holds his hands up.
Oh, look.
And
I like the smoke there. That's nice.
Someone even took care of burning
the rope
around their hands.
Well, he just exploded everybody. I think he could burn a little bit of, rope.
And you see, now Indiana has no choice but to, like, believe in at least something.
I believe.
Boy, that pole was really moving around there. It wasn't that sturdy that they were tied
to. The grip wasn't holding it tight enough. Mm.
Nice music cue, John Williams.
I don't get why they didn't freaking put it on a plane and ship it to Hitler.
But he explained. Oh.
So it could explode everybody.
Oh, John just found the hole in the plot. Just send it to Hitler. Hitler dies.
I know.
The war would have been over. Inglorious Bastards early.
Yeah.
Good point.
Oh, man.
I didn't think about it until the last time I saw it. All of a sudden, I was like, send it to him.
Okay. That just blows the whole film for me. You see, now they said they were going to send it to Hitler.
Yeah.
No. I like the fact that it's the four of them, and then they have a fifth guy in the room. And we don't know
who is that guy.
Exactly, we don't know. He's the guy.
Yep. Bureaucracy.
Top men, I like this.
The bureaucracy of men.
Who?
Top man. I like how he says it all with the pipe in his mouth.
And we get to see Marion dolled up.
Hi, Marion.
In her 40s garb. What's the time period? What's the year this takes place in?
1936.
36?
Oh. 36.
36. When was that established? I missed it.
Oh, that's nice.
She's got spunk.
She does. I like how when he stopped on the stairs, she went ran all the way back up. And
oh, yeah.
That was the
double take, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, I love you, honey.
It's great music.
Classic suit. And then goes right into that.
One of the best endings in movie history. Mm-hmm. One of.
One that had the audience laughing as they exited the theater.
The thing is, I think we all felt that it's true. Right. You know what I mean? It hit like a chord so deep.
Yeah, like, you know, there are probably things out there that were discovered that they're just like,
it's very X-Files, isn't it?
I mean, they've got several shows that have.
I mean, look at the,
sci-fi.
Look at that Warehouse, man.
There's Warehouse 13. Yeah. Exactly. You've got shows like Warehouse 13 before that. You had Friday the 13th, the TV series that went off the whole thing of all these different artifacts that have to be found and like discovered and type of thing. Mm. Of course, this did show up again in what was it again? The film that I've forgotten.
Some movie. Oh, yeah. There was some movie.
Indiana Jones and the City of Gloom and Doom.
Because they had to go to the warehouse to get something.
Yes.
And they actually went past. They knocked over.
Crystal Skulls. Yes.
Indiana Jones and the CGI overkill.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got knocked open, and it became a sight gag.
Indiana Jones and Mutt swinging like Tarzan with monkeys. Anyway, amazing.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Well, I don't think it loses anything.
No.
Wow.
Well, it's also being 1936, so you have it being a period piece, so it's just not going to age. It's going to...
Yeah, it holds up pretty well. It holds up better than science fiction, because science fiction ages because we move towards, but history
It has a romantic, nostalgic setting, and...
Someone was just funny. Darn right funny.
Sound design, Ben Burt. Big hand for you, buddy.
I think some of the matte paintings, was it Peter Ellenshaw? The one, especially the crates at the end.
They had the master painter.
We got to watch.
Likely.
It already went by.
Eric Tomlinson, music recording. He's one of the
painter. It already went by.
It wasn't. I don't know if did Ellenshaw work with Lucas? He did Star Wars.
Know. No, I don't know. Ellenshaw, the last thing I knew was The Black Hole. But
oh, that's right.
Peter Ellenshaw did, but all the names that are so familiar, and yet I don't see them often now. They're definitely 80s
names. It
has been
28
I know.
Years.
What are these people doing?
Joe Johnston, art director, visual effects, went on to become director.
Oh, good for Joe. What's something he's done? Do you know?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Oh, okay. I think he did the third Jurassic Park. He does different
Illustrator,
things.
Ralph McQuarrie. He's very
Michael
famous.
Michael Pangrazio.
That's right. He was Ralph McQuarrie.
Star Wars. Did a lot of the
he did this
conceptual
the
art,
Star
right?
Wars conceptual arts.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, even the casting director, Mike Fenton did most of the
Jane
casting
Feinberg,
in the late 70s, early 80s.
Dwayne Dunham,
everything.
Assistant film editor.
Cloud Effects, Gary Platek, he did Close Encounters as well.
Okay.
Yes. I want to sing that song.
Are there words to it?
Oh, I could put words to it. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Robert McMillian. Interesting name.
Hmm.
Tunisia.
Yeah, it was Tunisia.
Production supervisor, Mohammed Ali Sharif.
What'd they do in France? France. Yeah. Peruvian Hawaiian unit.
Hawaiian. I think when Indiana Jones came out after the boulder and he gets on the plane to fly away at the beginning, I think that was Hawaii. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wonderful cast. Let's hear it for the cast.
Yay.
Classic cast.
Cast was awesome.
You don't get better.
Jock.
They all brought wonderful things to each part.
And that's the thing. When Spielberg gets actors, I mean, even if you look at something like AI, the actors who you wouldn't even know, I mean, just any film, most of them that he does, all the actors are always great.
Pilot, Frank Marshall. See? Frank Marshall, the producer, was that pilot.
Oh, that's right. The pilot. Yeah. That's right.
Now, I doubt if they're going to have...
Terry Leonard. Stunts.
The special effects guy, I doubt if they'll list him. That was on that plane. I know it was him. Dennis Muren. I know that was him on the plane. I'll bet you.
Hmm.
If I'm wrong, let me know.
We will. Hmm. We will let you know.
London Symphony Orchestra.
That's right. Okay, so France, Tunisia, Hawaii. Elstree. Yeah, my Elstree. That's what I thought.
It was not Pinewood.
Okay, I was going to say Elstree next, but I held my tongue.
Well, you shouldn't hold your tongue.
I didn't want to say something wrong.
I actually turned around and I saw Serge holding his tongue, which sort of concerned
by
me.
By my hand.
Disgusting.
Not saying, and there's the Paramount Mountain again, as it began.
See the mountain again. Back when it was a Gulf and Western company. So, alas. And so we come to the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I loved it. Again. I always will, no matter how many times I see it. It brings back not only a youthful part of my life and one where I knew there was magic in cinema, but it's nice to see the magic come back again.
Mm-hmm.
Great filmmaking. I mean, you know, you just watch that, and I mean, they should show that in classes of film. I'm sure they do, but I mean, it's like, you know, just to see the shots and the actual planning that goes into them and the time and effort missed. And one of the greatest heroes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun, thoroughly enjoyable, fantastic, lovely, spectacular.
John, you're the screenwriter.
Adjectives more, please. More adjectives.
More. Bigger, better, faster, grander. Fantastic. And if anyone's, everyone's welcome to come by structurenotformula.com if you're interested in writing and storytelling and cool stuff like that.
And you'll have a breakdown of this?
I don't know if I'm going to have a breakdown of this one. Mm-hmm. But I'll definitely have a breakdown of some of the other ones I did.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a couple projects I'm working on right now, so I'm not sure if I'm going to get to the breakdown of this one.
Okay.
But there's other good stuff for them.
In time on Raiders. Because, I mean, I think Raiders is a classic film, just classic. And it just reminds me because basically this came out, I think, just before we went into film school. And I can, you know, looking back, you can see how a lot of things that I saw in this totally influenced me, and it's a masterclass in filmmaking. It still holds up wonderfully. It's fantastic. All the performances, just the shots, everything practically perfect. We excuse the day for night, we excuse the blue screen effects, you know. The compositions were great, the technology was just not quite up there, but it's still fantastic. It's just all,
it's slick, but not a oh look at me cocky slick.
It's
a very viewer friendly slickness in the film, but I feel that there's, in some of Spielberg's later works, there's a different vibe in the slickness of it, and it's sort of you know what I'm trying to say? More of a, I'm not hungry anymore, I'm successful, and it's that type of a slick vibe, overly slick, and I don't get into it. This I do.
Well, here there's, I mean, I think the you've got a confluence of skill and craft. Oh, well, no, I'm not skill and craft. Craft talent and enthusiasm for the subject
matter. There's a definite enthusiasm in this, yes.
And not to say that later Spielberg films aren't enthusiastic, but sort of the passions kind of all went into all this. And I've got to say, the one thing that really came out for me this time, and I've seen this many times, but I haven't seen this in years, was the humor, was the goofy humor, and just how well it fit, like I said before, into this context. And in the later films, I think they never quite caught that spirit again. It's like they reinvented the spirit each time, and it was fine enough, and they were all great entertainments, but they didn't quite get this thing, which I think is just so great. I love the humor in this, and I see it so, you know, it's like something I've never seen so well until now.
I could try to belabor and talk my point I'm trying to make, but really it's a matter of just looking at this and then immediately after looking at Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and it will speak for itself, and you'll see that what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
but
two different.
I totally hear you, and I was thinking a Minority Report popped in my head. And I don't know, I felt that was good. I mean, something that I felt there was passion involved in.
See, I kind of like Minority Report. I mean, yeah. I can see where it kind of like was losing it. I mean, and just like I liked AI, which is a kind of a weird Hayman Kubrick. But I think one where, you know, the ball was dropped, one that just did nothing for me was The Terminal. The Terminal I watch, and I'm like, I don't understand. I mean, I get the ending, but the in-between, I'm just like, a lot of it just didn't, just there was no connection. And we're, you know, going back to this, all the things that went into making a great, thrilling movie experience came together at starting in this film and went on to other films too.
And I will say, one of my other favorite cause and effect sequences of Spielberg is in The Lost World, of all things. And it's where they're dangling over the cliff in the vehicles.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on forever of Julianne Moore, and the glass is cracking below her, and then she breaks through it, and they're all dangling from their separate cables and everything. That brought back the same thrill to me of what I saw like in Raiders set pieces. With it was like, oh, that Spielberg cause and effect is back. I loved it in Lost World, that sequence.
Right.
Stood out for me. And I cannot wait for the Blu-ray of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's going to be great.
Nice. When's it coming out?
I don't know. I'm waiting.
Oh. oh, well, okay. All right. And on that note, thank you once again for listening to another Film Grok. This has been Serge Dalpierre.
This is John Ruby.
And Tim McMillan.
And Curtis Nelson.
And we thank you once again. See you next time.